Hey, 4Play listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
4Play, presented by Barstool Sports, brought to you by our very good friends at Owens Mixers. Quite the debacle of a start, I must say. It feels like 4Play is somehow in shambles, yet in 4.5 years of doing this show, this is the first time in the history of doing the show where our man Trent Rand's career is double digits. So it is a monumental moment, a monumental show. You three are all in studio. I'm at Aaron Hills in this lovely room at the Lodge. Hello, gentlemen. How are we?
I think that deserves a round of applause.
It does.
Oh, come on. Okay. That's really nice. Thank you. You guys have all been incredibly instrumental in my golf career and in my goal to reach 99 or lower. So you guys have been there through a lot of the steps of the way. It's a big accomplishment for me. It feels like a weight has been lifted off of my shoulders. It just feels good. And I said it in one of the videos where I just want to be a quote unquote normal golfer. And I understand that being as bad as I am at golf is far more the norm than being very good at golf. But you know what I mean when I say that, where whenever I tee it up, I just don't want to be the guy all the time who people are like, all right, well, that guy's going to just put up a huge number. And I don't want to get too carried away either because I've only done it once. But I feel very confident in my skills right now. John Tillery, he's the man. He helped me construct this new swing. He helped me with course management. He helped me every single step of the way. So he deserves a lion's share of the credit. And it just feels really good. Quite honestly.
It's a huge weight off your shoulders, I would say.
Big.
Trent, Ryan, I mean, you as an adult human being, how often do people really set their sights on something new, a new goal? Usually you get pretty set in your ways. You become who you are. You're not going to accomplish anything new. You're not going to go too low, too high. You set out, my friend, to break 100. You went down to, Georgia and tried, literally went into a new world. You, Iowa boy, corn boy, went into a new world. You're stretching upside down. You're trying new things. You're standing on this fucking tee that's like its own circle. You're wake surfing. You're doing all kinds of stuff in an effort to get yourself out of your comfort zone, change your swing a little bit, learn what needs to be learned. You're going to 5-iron golf. You set your sights on something, and you accomplished it. So well done, my friend.
Thank you. And I don't feel this way anymore, but there were stretches during this process where I thought, what did I get myself into? Because before, when we would go out and I would shoot the high number and, you know, that was just sort of what it was, I didn't get that frustrated because I was like, this is just what I am and this is how I play golf. This is what it's going to be like forever. But then when you decide that you want to improve upon something, the pressure gets amped up a little bit and the expectations get a little bit higher. And I got more frustrated during some of the breaking 100 rounds than I had been in the past. But I'm okay with that because I got much better. My swing is better. My golf game is better. But in the moment, there was a part of me that was like, did I take the fun out of this by trying to get better at it?
Yeah.
And that's not the case anymore. But so it's just, you know, 95, I feel really, really, really good about it.
You also brought people in your life to help. Like Frankie was almost, I would say, your caddy, your old dog through the whole mission.
Pretty much.
Was your coach. All the viewers that went through kind of each and every episode with you, every shot. Like that, I saw that pressure almost mount on you of just, I want this. I want to say I did this. And I want JT to be proud coach of me. Like,
right.
Now you're bringing people on this. And there were some dark times because, as we all watched, there was times where it looked pretty good. And then it got bad.
I suck. There were times when I heard you just saying that over there. And I was like, man, we've all been there before.
Yeah, we've played a lot of rounds of golf together, you and I.
Yeah.
A ton. And I've never really seen you get down on yourself. You're always the kind of guy that we can always say that we don't have that bone in our body. Like Trent's just the only guy that can let the punches roll right off of him. And he just doesn't take them home with him. He doesn't care about what he shot. He doesn't care about how many balls go out of bounds. He just wants to go home and just like have a good dinner and eat some Sour Patch Kids and it's over.
Mm.
Like you don't take your game home with us, which I think a lot of amateur golfers unfortunately do. Or you could look at it the other way where like we care enough to get back out there and grind. And I think you got that feeling halfway through this where you're like, oh man, like I'm taking this home with me now. Like I'm thinking about it. Like you would text me, like, I cannot believe I put up 116 or whatever the number was. Like, can you believe how many strokes that is? Like, I'm not even close. So I started to see like you really starting to care. And it's awesome to see you finally come through with it. We knew it was going to happen within the next round or two. We felt it.
Yeah, I had been playing better. I just had
course management. Like, talk us through like what you thought. Like, when did you know it was going to happen that day at Garden City? Did you know like the time you woke up? Like,
no, I did not, and I didn't know until pretty deep into the round. And I especially didn't feel that way when I made an 8-on-1.
Yeah. Were you scoreboard watching? Were you scoreboard watching?
I try to do as little of that as I possibly can, and that's always the mindset going into it. But then when you make an 8-on-1, it's already like, oh, man.
Sometimes that frees you up, though. When you play your worst early, you get a little more careless, let's just see how it goes, and sometimes it can free you up.
It sometimes it does. It didn't here. No, because I just, and all, with the videos that have been coming out, and this isn't the right way to think about it, but as people who put videos out, like, I remember in the last video where I played well on the front, and then I had two, you know, 8 and 9 were bad holes, and then I just fell apart, and I didn't get it done. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people watching, and people are going to have a lot of tips, and it gets to the point where you get motivated by, you just want to play well, so people stop sending you so many tips, and I got to that point. I would say, when I knew in the round that I finally did it, there was a pitching wedge that I hit on 16. I remember when I hit that and I hit it onto the green, I had a birdie putt upcoming. I was like, all right, I'm going to make a 5 on this hole. And then when I really knew is on 17, I sprayed my tee shot right.
You avoided the bunker.
And yep. I avoided the bunker. And
somehow.
Because I had lost my 56 because I had left it somewhere on the course, which is of course. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, it would have been a very nice, easy 56 for me. And instead, I had to like chop a 52, and it got over that bunker, and that's when I knew.
See, I think it's even earlier. So thank you to all the viewers, by the way, of just outrageous numbers on this fucking video series. Nothing's lower than like 230,000, like 1/4 million views on every single episode.
Had 12,000 people watching live. 12, on
I think it went up to like 14,000 live. We were pushing to it all night.
Yeah, you're a TV star. I mean, you just carry your own TV show.
The chat was live that night on YouTube. I mean, people were going crazy.
Rick said that to me at one point. And I had never really thought about it that way because I still kind of don't. But he was like, you just have a TV show. Where yes. every week, hundreds of thousands of people end up watching your episode. And it made me feel weird when I thought about it that way, but a lot of people were watching this YouTube
series. Yeah, you're like a solo star. Frankie's kind of like a little co-star. He's like helping out, and some of them, other people pop in here and there. But you are like the lead role in a TV show that is an hour long per episode-ish and hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah, you're just a TV star, my man. That's just what that is.
And I know sometimes I get caught up and I've been shitting on the people who've been sending me nothing but tips. And I maybe harp on that a little bit too much. The other side of that is I get so much positivity sent my way. People are tweeting at me being like, you have motivated me to go out there and try and improve my golf game to maybe try to break 100 themselves or break 90 or break 85, whatever it may be. And that is 95% to 98% of the feedback that I get. People are incredibly supportive of the series. They're incredibly supportive of me and my journey to try to get this done. So the whole time, it's really just been, it's been really great.
So all those viewers are great. They're fantastic. And the one thing that I was laughing at watching, and I was in the chat, of course, and I was kicking people out there being mean, was that no one could understand why you were using a hybrid. And they were just yelling at you every single time, like, stop with the hybrid, stop with the hybrid. And when I knew that you were going to do this, and it really got real, was on 15, you ripped the driver just right down the cock of this golf course. And then on 16, again, ripped it right down the fucking throat. I mean, I've never in my life seen such confidence. You didn't swing one driver swing all day until the hardest holes at Garden City Country Club. On 16, they have this railroad track that we've been talking about for, I don't know, how long did we talk about that?
2 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks when we knew we were going to be playing there. I said, you can't go right. You cannot use a driver at Garden City on 16. He takes a driver out, hits it right down the middle. You end up with a birdie putt. So that's just the kind of confidence that you had. That's the kind of confidence that grew with you during the series, and that's just awesome to see.
Well, and just to sort of address the hybrid thing quickly, I've found in the past that when I get out of a hole, and it usually starts with my driver where I just spray it and then I make a 9 and it's like, fuck. With the hybrid, I just eliminate that completely where I'm in the hole the whole time. No matter what, I hit my first shot, my tee shot's down the middle or it's maybe into the rough a little bit and then I can work with that. And I know that I've hit my driver well in the past and sometimes it's really hot, other times it's really cold, but I just wanted to cut that out of the equation and just get myself to places on the golf course where I can hit good iron shots, or I can hit good wedges, or I can, you know, hopefully two putt. I just didn't want the hole to be over before it started.
The common man's Henrik Stenson. That's how you play golf.
If to a viewer, it was frustrating because you were far out. So I could see why they'd say like, oh my God, this fucking guy has to hit a 190-yard shot onto a green every single hole. But that's not, we're not trying to hit greens in regulation is the thing that they weren't understanding. We're trying to break 100. That is it. We weren't trying to make pars out there. We were trying to break 100.
So we've talked a lot about on this show, Lurch, you're the game of fives.
Yep.
Where if you view every hole as a par five and you make a five on each hole, you shoot 90. Is that what it is?
That's spot on.
Yeah, you shoot 90. So I switched that up a little bit. I decided to start playing every hole as one more than it – than like if it's a par five, it's a par six. If it's a par four, it's a par five. It's a par three.
Same rule applies, yeah.
Same. It's basically the same thing. And if you view it that way, I understand that people were probably frustrated taking hybrid off the tee the whole time. But if you view it in that lens that I'm mm-hmm. talking about, it no longer is about that. It's it's about breaking 100. It's about breaking 95. Like it's – I understand that people want to hit the, you know, greens and regulation, but for a guy in my position, I have to view it through a different lens.
Right, because it gives you the ability to hit your drive, hit something up around there, chip on, two putt. You know, and that's, all right, five, on to the next. That's a par four. But, like, it gives you one more shot of just getting on the green. And I think it uncovered one of, like, the big lies in golf of this, like, whole series of so many people are where you are, and the way that you hit the ball is – impressive. Like, you pure that hybrid. Like, you just have confidence. You just whack it. And a lot of people come home, tell their buddies, oh, what do you shoot, like, mid-90s? And they, I think, saw you and your ability, and they're like, if he's shooting, I might be in a bad spot here. So then you get these messages, I think, of like, hey, I'm going to go out and try to improve my game because, like, I saw what you did, and I want to do the same.
I've certainly got a lot of feedback with what you're saying where, oh, I thought I was, like, a low 90s, mid-90s golfer.
Right.
But I think I'm actually, like, closer to where you are or where you were when this started. And on the flip side of that, like, you don't have to play ball and hole all the time. Like, don't play golf where you're going to be ball and hole and you're just like grinding over it to see where your score is going to be. I am very much an advocate, and this show is very much an advocate of go out there, play, have fun, shoot whatever you shoot, whatever. But people are realizing by watching the series where, oh, I thought I was a 90s golfer and I'm probably more like a 105 to 108 golfer.
Right. I put three balls out of bounds and I took a six. Like, you start adding those things up and it goes to an 11, a 13 pretty quick.
100%.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Trent, I would say, too, I think that your iron play is the most transformed part of your game. I thought coming down the stretch on the back nine, there were several – I mean, you had back-to-back pars. There were several moments where, you know, you stood up there and at times you used to, like, maybe chunk one, or you were afraid to get it in the air. You were afraid to hit the ground. Maybe you'd, like, hosel one off to the right and it would kind of build on itself. I thought you just stepped up and you just hit some really clutch iron shots that even if they weren't perfect, they were, like, pretty damn close to perfect and up on or near the green. I think that's the most impressive – transformative part of your game.
Transformed.
I couldn't agree more. Transformed
part of your game.
Yeah. There you go.
I couldn't agree more. And one of the shots that gave me a lot of confidence was my second shot on 10. Was my approach shot on 10. Yeah. You guys, I'm not asking you guys to remember, right. But I was just
trying to recount
it. I'm looking at the alerts, like, you remember? You watched the video? But it was like, because we had just played the front nine, which we played in an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's another thing. We played the whole round in like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
It was insane.
Wow. Crazy.
But I wasn't running out of gas or anything, but I shot a 49 on the front, and I was like, all right, I got my work cut out for me here. I know what I need to do. And just making a par on that 10th hole was like, all right, let's settle in now, and let's play some good golf. I then went on to double bogey three holes in a row at one point on the back. But when you make some pars here and there and a bogey – the double bogeys don't kill you. And JT's been preaching me that ever since I met up with him, where he was like, the things that kill you are triples. Yeah. If you keep mixing in triples and higher, this is just never going to happen. Double's not going to kill you, because if you make a couple pars, those get knocked down to basically nothing. And you're fine.
And we got a lot of room for improvement here, and that only just screams one thing at me.
Breaking 90?
Oof.
Is that where we're going next? Is that where we're going?
I think you got to live in the 90s for a month.
I don't know.
Keep dialing the game. You think right now, jump right into breaking 90?
I don't know how you stop this train. Like, I don't know what dialing the game means. Like, what if he just dials in the game and shoots an 88?
That's
like,
true. This has good
to
point.
Just, you're on, great point. You're just on the track now where we need to know as low as you can get. And the funniest, I think, the transition or transformed part of this series, what will end up being, is, you know, Trent and I are going to go out there. We're going to have a great time. We're going to go to Borelli's. We're going to eat meals. We're going to play golf. We're
going
to have fun.
I know where this
and
is
then
going.
At one point, one day, Trent's going to be like 6 over through 12, and I'm going to be 8 over through 12, and the whole series is going to come to a screeching halt to where now I'm just worse than Trent. Like, at some point in the fucking near future – because this guy's grinding on his golf game. I mean,
I go
every
five iron
golf every morning on Instagram story. I'm like, what's this guy? Hold on now. We're going to go from friends to enemies quick. Because if that happens, I'm done there. I mean, I would love for it to happen, though. I would love for us to start to get competitive and, like, what that would bring to the podcast and, like, how much fun those videos would end up being. Listen, if we can get to the same level, that's great for everyone.
It is a very funny visual thinking of that video being like, all right, this is a Trent, you know, breaking 90 video, and halfway through, Frankie becomes the main character, and now it's, I got to try to
beat. You're not far off. You're hitting great golf shots. I'm all over the place half the time. The only thing that you need to clean up, which a lot of people saw, and actually, you did so well at Garden City that people thought we were lying throughout this whole series. Your putting was atrocious for eight episodes, and then you just, I don't know if you really three-putt, like, any hole at Garden City. Maybe one?
Couple,
like,
maybe.
But your putting got so dialed in at Garden City. Like, if that's just the new trend, I mean, the 80s are around the corner.
So the next step, I think, for the series is I am going to go back down to Georgia.
Yep.
And I'm going to take the scorecard, and I'm going to have a bunch of things for JT. I'm going to give him a bunch of stuff. I'm going to present it to him down in mm-hmm. his little training area in the bay that I originally started training in. He's got, you know, staff bags of Kiz and Ricky, and so I think we're going to get him something like that. We're going to hang up my picture in his space there, and then I think we'll just go from there. But I think breaking 90, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but that's probably where we're going to go next.
You were adopting what he showed you, so he's got to be so happy to see you again, because, like, all of the foundation is now there. Like, he broke you down, gave you a new swing. You went out, you shot 126, you shot 118, 119, 110, 108, 102.
Feels good now that I did.
Like, yeah, 104. Fine. Like, you started to get better. And then all of a sudden it was 95. Like, he's got to be so excited to get his hands on you again, because now he can teach you a little bit more. It was like step one. You've only gone to him once.
Once.
So, like, now it's time to – I mean, you also did the five iron thing.
And I saw him in San Diego. But I only have done, like, the weekend trip where he puts a lot of information in my head one time.
It's time for him to, like, mold what he started now, build up. You're only on level one. This is going to be a skyscraper by the time.
It is crazy how much he gave you with one weekend. You know what I mean? Like, your swing is totally different than it was. The power that you have, like, is just astronomically different, which is very cool to see. Also, the thing that I find difficult, that I feel like you've stayed with the process.
Yeah.
Like, where maybe I try something new, I try it for a little bit, don't have success, and just throw it away. You stay with it, and, like, some of the drives off the tees have been like, that's awesome.
Right.
And I do think that next step, Riggs and I were actually talking when we're at Forest Dunes, which everybody will see, is, like, when we play those longer courses, you're going to have to figure out a way to bring the driver back in the bag. And then you can hit the hybrid on the next shot. You know what I mean? Because then you're closer, where if you're going hybrid, and then you still have, like, a 6-iron in or something like that, it's going to be hard to stay at that level.
No doubt.
So getting that extra yardage there off the tee, I think, is something that you'll have to go back to at some point.
I agree. And that's just going to be part of the next process.
Right.
Where it's, I've got the things that I were really, really bad at. Well, I guess the one thing, I was bad at everything, but the irons were really bad. Yeah. I just didn't really fundamentally understand how to hit iron shots.
Yeah.
I really didn't understand it. The driver, I can kind of figure it out, and I know I'm first tee Trent, but those, you know, those drives go like 185 yards, but that was still fine. Mm-hmm. But the irons, I felt like were a foreign language. Now that I've got those figured out and I know how to hit them, building the rest of the game to a point where I can hopefully, you know, break 90 and just keep going, I think we can definitely get there. And JT is the key, obviously. I'm going to go
Trent,
down there. Yes, sir.
So there's a lot of people that have been following your journey, hundreds of thousands on YouTube, your TV star now, thousands of people that listen to this show, and almost all of these people want to get better at golf. You are an inspiration to golfers far and wide. Now that you've been through this, where we clearly are throwing at you, we're tickling your balls with how much you've improved and how well you did, what would you say have been the biggest drivers in your actual improvement? Like, how important was the information from JT versus like actually going to 5-iron and practicing it? How important has like thinking about course strategy been versus putting, you know, the hybrid in play when it's not too long of a hole? Like, where for you, when you look at it, are you like, that was a big difference maker?
I think it's two things. And the first is get a lesson. Just go get a lesson. It'll help you like you won't even believe. And I know that, like, I've got Tillery, and he is just, he's a whole other level of swing coach. But I do think anybody who's trying to improve their golf game in any sort of way needs some sort of direction, something to work on, something that they can think about, something they can let marinate in their head. Because right now, if you're just a normal weekend hacker, which a lot of people are, there's not a lot of, like, improvement or like trying to improve. You're like, this is my game, I'm gonna go out there, and you know, sometimes I shoot a 91 and other times I shoot a 111. Like, it's very much, it's sporadic. You don't know what you're gonna do. If you get a lesson from somebody who knows what they're talking about, that's gonna help in a major way. And the second, you had mentioned 5-iron, actually practicing and putting in the process that the swing coach or whoever, putting those into practice over and over and over again, that helps just as much as the lesson, but you need one before the other. Just being able to swing and like try new things, because we talk a lot about on this show where every time we go out and we play, we're playing. We spend 10 minutes on the range just fucking around. We putt 15 times before we go out there and then we go. But actually going to a place like 5-iron, or if you don't live in New York City, you can go to your local place and hit balls around and have an actual goal. Because I used to, you know, before I moved to New York, when I would go to the driving range in Cedar Rapids, wherever, I would just go hit balls. And like, that helps to a degree. It helps to swing every single day or just get some swings in. But if you're not working towards something, you're not going to improve in the way or at the pace or the rate that you want to. So, I mean, those might sound like two obvious things where it's like, get a lesson and then practice more. But that is a huge part of why
practicing
so
more
fun.
Is not just hitting balls. It's like situational golf, right? Like I was just playing the other day, and I had a 75-yard like check down 56-degree shot from the middle of the fairway. And I said to my playing partners, I'm like, the last time I attempted this was the last time I had a 75-yard 56 check down shot in the middle of a fairway while playing golf.
Right.
I don't know. And then I sculled that one. I'm going to scull this one as well, or chunk it. Like, I don't know what consists. I don't know what I have to do to hit this ball into a green. So it's like getting lessons. And then now what I'm realizing is like, go find a short range or something, or go to a park and learn that swing. So that the next time I'm 75 yards out, I'm not double hitting the ball in the middle of the fairway and like hitting the ball behind me.
To that point, Frankie, Lurch and I had a really interesting conversation like 2 years ago. Where we were like, if you're at a place, practice facility, wherever, that has like a greenside bunker scenario to practice out of, if you go in that bunker and hit like 30 shots, you will hit in that 5 minutes the same number of greenside bunker shots that you'll probably hit over the next year. Yeah, so like,
correct,
you're literally able to hit that many in that short of a span, and no one really practices. So I think that stood out to me too, Trent, where like you could tell you had the knowledge, you had done the JT trip, you had tried a couple rounds of golf, and like, yeah, in golf you get worse before you get better sometimes, but you hadn't yet like really implemented going and like grinding on that muscle memory a little bit, so it feels normal, like whatever your better swing is feels normal for you. And it felt like, to me watching, once you started doing that, your contact, especially your iron play, was just so much better.
For sure. And I remember JT being concerned about that too. I'd keep telling him about these rounds that I played, and he'd be like, you got to stop playing rounds. You have to go and practice. Like, yeah, we're never going to get anything done if you just continue to go out on these golf courses and shoot 115. Like, you need to go somewhere where you can practice. And you're right. Once I started doing that, once I actually started practicing, sure enough, I start playing way, way better. And that was big on my iron play for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think people say, like, if you just go to a range and beat balls, like, it's so worthless. You know, there's no thought in your brain. There's no, like, attempt to get any better. You're not trying to groove anything out. And I'm dumb enough where I still continue to do that. Like, I've gotten really one lesson in my life, and it was a straight left arm and hit down on the ball, and that's, like, all I really do. But Riggs laughs at me. And he's like, dude, I see you at the range, and you go flush, like, a 5-iron, a 7-iron, and then, like, hit a drive or two, and never, never do I see you go practice a 4-foot putt. And it's like, yeah. I mean, and then it's, in my head, it's pathetic because, like, yeah, I just do what I like, and I just go over there.
What
and
I'm good at, yeah, like, right. What I sort of know what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah. And I just do that. And then I'm dumb enough as well where I go out and expect a different result. It's like, if you're not making an actual, like, you know, an effort to improve, you're just, it's not there. So I love that you're committed to it. I mean, it's great. I just like to see almost like the joy on your face and the celebration that you guys gave post-round was all time.
All time.
But you could see the relief on your shoulders.
As good as it gets.
Just like, dude, I want to be better at golf. Like
we just didn't want to do that shit anymore. You
right.
know?
Right.
We didn't want to go out there, try and break 100 and just not succeed anymore. It was starting to get like annoying.
I know.
Because we knew Trent had the skill and he had it in him. So it was like, I started getting frustrated at him. What was the round right before? That was at Sands Point.
Village Club of Sands Point.
I like got angry at him walking off. You're like, you're a fucking asshole. I wouldn't even look at him.
You wouldn't look me in the eyes on 17 and 18.
It was crazy.
You're like, I want to throw up.
I did. I wanted to throw up because I knew, like, oh, man, just another opportunity passed.
He shot a 102 at Erin Hills, like, forever ago.
It's crazy.
And that's – we played that championship-level golf. Like, that's – and to think that it's been that long that you fringed on this, like, 101 to – did you ever shoot 100 exactly?
No.
Never.
Stunning. It's stunning with all the golf we've played on right. video that you actually never broke 100.
The fact – I know. The fact that I shot 102 at Erin Hills is a round that I don't actually think happened. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's the fact that it was a hard golf course. Riggs shot 102 that day.
I shot Frankie, a lucky 103 or something like that. I think half the holes I picked up.
So to do it there and then just sort of, like you said, be on the fringes of it for – years and then we were just finally able to get it done. It was great. It Uh-oh. Felt great. I'm such an asshole that after I got the lesson and stuff from JT down in Georgia, I was like, well, this is gonna be a 2-episode fucking series here, like we're gonna be done before this thing even starts. And then you find out that is not the case. So I think 8 episodes is kind of perfect, and it's just worked out that way, and we got it done, and now we just move on.
If we flip the script right now, and it sounds like we are, and we go right to breaking 90.
Yeah.
How many rounds do you think we're talking before? How many episodes do you think we're talking about this one?
That's a pretty big gap to overcome. I mean, I shot 95 at Garden City Country Club. Mm-hmm. Shout out to those guys. I can't put a number on it. I got to go down there. I got to see JT.
I think you let JT put a number on what your next goal should be. I think it should be the series is like breaking 90, but let him assess like where your game is at. And then let's like, you know, the series doesn't have to be 8 episodes. It could be fucking 30 episodes, but people can watch your progression on like what your next mini goal is, right? Like, all right, it's coming next week. Like Trent's going to play like a really hard golf course. If he can break 100 again and like he can get his putting down, you know what I mean? Like it's going to constantly be a battle. I mean, people can send us like what they think we should do or not do. I genuinely think it should be a breaking 90 series where you like learn your game even more within that series. Like it's going to be a lot harder for sure. So it's going to be longer.
Yeah, but like season 2, right? Like season 2 has got its own identity. It's like, you're kind of relearning, okay, I'm now a 90s golfer. Fuck that hybrid, like, trying to break, like, we did it. Now, how do we really start to shave some strokes? How do we get more consistent here? Like Frankie's saying, like, that could be, it doesn't have to be like your next 10 rounds have to be documented every shot. It's like,
right,
okay, let's regroup. Let's go down. Let's go to Georgia. Let's visit JT. We're now on a mission to shoot, you know, in the 80s.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right. The idea of, you know, bogeying every, like on a par 72 course, bogeying every hole to shoot 90, that seems impossible right now.
No. Belief, my man.
You throw a couple pars and you can double bogey a couple.
Yeah, that's true.
The big one in the game of fives, I know you play it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Is on a par three, if you can make a three, if you can get on and two putt and call that an eagle. You know what I mean? It totally forgives a lot. And now, it's always easier said than done.
No, but I have found that those mind games are beneficial. Because if you go out there and you're...
It feels like you win one.
Right. And if you, there's like victories along the way, because otherwise, if you're like me at my skill level and you're going out and you go to every hole and you think, all right, it's par four. The goal is to make par here.
Right.
It's rarely going to happen. And then you get super discouraged about it. And you just, you end up hating the round and hating the day. And that's just not the way to do it. If you give yourself a little bit of cushion, which is necessary because you're not going to shoot par.
Right.
You're just not going to do that. Give yourself a little bit of leeway and you'll feel better about it. And I guarantee that your numbers will be lower.
Well, congrats, Trent.
Thank you.
We're all happy for you.
Congrats, Trent.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Boys, where are we at with our ping pong team, ping pong level, skill,
performances?
Yeah, mine's just fading, I guess.
So okay. He's no longer like a really good ping pong player.
No, I'm just like sliding at the bottom. The only claim that I'm going to say now is it's ice cold in that room.
Oh, my God.
So the ball doesn't drop the way it needs to. They're frozen plastic.
They were in Spider's little pocket.
Well,
they
if you saw me, I was always trying. I was always trying to get a warm one to play with.
Lurks lost two games today in the office. Yeah, it's tough to walk in being like this cocky ping pong player and lose two games.
I never made any claims.
You may have not have made claims, but
everybody else has.
A lot of people did, and I think Riggs may have done that as well.
I've done that.
I thought
you hurt my reputation, I would say.
100%.
I thought you were going to walk the way that they talked about you. I thought you were going to walk in and people were going to be like, this guy should be a pro.
Well, it is weird. I usually win a lot of ping pong games. In this office, I'm horrible.
Pressure just gets to you.
I think it's the cold.
And we got a lot of killers in this office.
I mean, Frankie beat me like 21-11. It was like,
no,
Jesus.
You ended up coming back. It was 21-14. It was 2014. He got all the way back to 2019.
Oh, that's right.
And I almost crumbled. I wouldn't have made this podcast if I lost that one. 2014, I was on top of the world. I started killing some. They were hitting the back wall. Right. I was screaming at myself, like, do not do this. I didn't do it.
Anyways.
Tough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, we're doing the Olympics. We're doing like ping pong Olympics right now, so it's fun. I actually don't know who ended up winning. They're doing it right now, the finishing touches. We've been playing since 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's now 6:55 on Monday.
It's a long stream.
It's been a long day of ping pong, so we'll see who ends up being the victor.
Well, Lurch in Newport, I thought you were red hot. You were taking everybody out. Now,
warm table.
There's just camp.
It's going to be tough for people to buy into the warm table.
We're playing on as cold of a table.
Just everybody's playing the same table.
Is your side colder?
100%. But I just hit every ball out. Everyone just – I didn't get the spin on it. Didn't get the rotations. And
last time you blamed the paddles? You're always blaming something.
I will say you're getting quite the reputation in that Steel Streams room that you are a big complainer.
Fine.
First he said Jake Marsh was putting his hand on the table. They had to go to tape and look at it. Then he says they're falling off the edges of the tables. And like Hank's just
do you remember the last time I played? I got like called on every foul possible.
I don't know, man. Usually we just go in there, play ping pong, and leave.
Well.
You know, we just play some pong.
Right, you brought your own paddle.
He brought his own paddle with him, which is tough to lose to me. You know. I just picked one up off the floor and just beat him.
Right.
Went to Modell's 100%. And like, bought a fucking paddle. Yeah. You like the
totally.
Sound. It's tough.
It's a bad performance. There's no way to fight that.
Yeah.
And I'll throw a couple excuses against the wall and That's see fine. What sticks. One right now, I'm going to hold on to the cold.
Right. Because I think
the
at this
plastic
point,
ball gets too cold, doesn't get the rotation.
It's a three-star ball,
warmth.
By the way.
If you had never played and refused to come in here and
would have been better off.
Bro, it would have been a legend.
Yes.
It would have been like, this guy, he just won't even come in.
You gotta come
He's
to
a
my
mythical.
Table.
You got to come out where he is. But now... Now you just get limp out of here.
Oh, big limp.
Yeah.
Almost both legs are broken.
Tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
You lost to Frankie Borelli and to Jake Marsh? Is that who you lost to?
Yep. And Hank.
Yeah.
Only guy I beat was PFT. Right. And even that, like, I had to change up styles and, like, just, like, kind of lob it back to him. But he's got no power, so it kind of worked. But I tough day none of my office. Big offensive shots. It was just, I mean, there's no, I lost. I lost badly.
Okay.
And I didn't really even feel very competitive on the table, if we're being honest.
At least you're owning up to it.
No, I mean, it was gold.
No.
Well, I used to tell people.
That, I take that back. You are not owning up to this whatsoever. You're like, I can't play in a meat locker.
Yeah. I told people for years, Lurch is the best ping pong player in person I've ever seen. And there were times, I think Frankie was even there with me, when we went to that fucking bar.
Fat Cats.
And Lurch would just run the show down there and dominate
people.
I've seen
you at Five Iron. You crushed people lefty.
Five Iron, like, yes.
It's and good I was like, in there.
He's unbeatable. And then you come into the office and it's fucking Phil Mickelson at Wingfoot. So you can't, yes. You're collapsing all over the place. It's like, yeah. I can't. I don't know. It's just
I will say, you guys have long said that I'm not a cold weather golfer. My body doesn't work in the cold
It's
weather.
Not that cold in there. I mean, we're talking about an office setting. Like, this is
it Arctic temperatures?
No, what was it, like 71 degrees in there?
Ooh,
I mean, how much lower could it get?
60.
The door's constantly opening. We got a bunch of bodies in there. The body heat alone.
The balls
are also, you got to be a 66 temperature, room temperature guy. Like, that's, look at
like
you.
I like to sleep in that weather for sure.
Yes.
He's acting like it was 35 degrees in there. Like, right. Played in a fucking
Somebody
meat
get
locker.
Their phone and check it out. It is ice cold in there. But, yeah, I mean, to
you're
put a bow
your,
on
you're
it.
You're taking your losses like a champ.
Put a bow on it. I lost. It's really cool.
You didn't show up in the ping pong Olympics. It happens. No. You know who did show up in the Olympics?
Jake Marsh.
Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, he did.
All
right. Congratulations to Xander Schauffele winning gold at the Tokyo 2020. They're calling it the 2020 Olympics.
You can't how do you feel me. About that? How do you feel about
can't
that?
Can't fool me. It's 2021.
All right. I have a question. When's the next Olympics?
2024.
Yeah.
So they're trying like to summer. Do it like so in 100 right. years, since this is an ancient Greek
an
thing. They like the history of it. I think they want to go back and say it was 2020. I think that it adds a little charm, the fact that it's happening
definitely.
In 2021.
Definitely.
Just like in MLB or maybe NHL, sometimes they'll like in the year, like when something doesn't happen, they'll be like the war or something like that.
Yes.
Like they'll skip a year because
I think
of,
it
like,
might
the
say
war.
That on like the claret jug. I think it might
yeah,
be just like right. the war for four
right.
years,
well,
and you're like, oh yeah,
yeah.
The whole and world was at war with each other, so it wasn't
I agree
a golf
with you guys,
tournament.
It's just a marker of what is going on in the world.
Correct.
Like when we in the future, when we watch old highlights of baseball games or basketball games from this last year, it'll be like, oh, why are there no fans? Oh, that's right, a pandemic happened. Same thing with the Olympics. It can be the 2021 Olympics, and then someone doing the math in their head be like, I thought it was every 4 years. Why is that one a little different? And then they can go back and they can learn about what was going on at this time.
I mean, at this rate, if people don't know, what 2020 is going Oof. To be one of the most famous years of all time.
No doubt.
So the fact that they had to dance around it and also act like they defeated COVID, like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you're not allowed to do that. You can't say that you put on the Olympics in 2020. You didn't. Like,
nothing happened
in 2020. It defeated you for the year. You, like, had to move it to the next year. And now you're just going to, like, in 100 years, they're going to think it just went off without a hitch? Come on.
I hate it. I fucking hate
it. I hate
that
it so much. But
are they going to call this the 2020 Ryder Cup this year?
They can't. They absolutely can't.
They better not.
They shouldn't.
2020 did not happen. You didn't have a Ryder Cup in 2020.
They did. The Olympics did a whole thing during the opening ceremonies where it was like they were showing a video montage of old Olympics, and then they were showing all the years and the things that
they
had
have
happened.
The Greek stuff in there.
And then you are obsessed with the
I
ancient
fucking
Greek
love
stuff.
It. I watched Hercules recently.
I've never seen you so obsessed with something. Every time we were going to the Olympics, you go, "Well, there it is."
It's cool, man. Like the Colosseums and all. And maybe no, that wasn't really ancient Greece, but.
But what I'm saying is that they did
Rome,
a video montage.
Rome.
Where it was like every 4 years, oh, this happened. And then when it got to 2020, they shut out all the lights and were
right.
like, and then they brought up pictures of Times Square being empty and all these places being empty. You can't then claim that it's the 2020 Olympics.
It's so. A joke and someone needs to be fired for it. But I want to say congratulations to Xander. Congratulations to Xander Schauffele on gold. It was a really awesome performance. I mean, he kind of almost gave it away at the end there. Got a little dicey. But I did bring up on last week's show how important that this would be. Before he even teed off on the practice round, I feel like we were talking about this, that Xander Schauffele was the one to watch because of the story with his dad. And we've talked to his dad, Stefan. Is that how he's pronounced his name?
Mm-hmm.
Stefan. What a story out of him. He was this German decathlon athlete. Basically, his grandfather was an Olympic athlete, and then he had some injuries, and he always looked up to his grandfather. His grandfather passed away when he was 18 years old, when Stefan was 18 years old. So he always idolized him and looked up to him, wanted to kind of follow in his footsteps. Ends up realizing he's a really good athlete. says, I'm good at a lot of things, but I'm not really great at one thing. And the German team was like, well, there's a decathlon. He like didn't even know what that meant. Tries out, puts up these ridiculous numbers. They say, like, you're on the team. Like, if you can I think it was like pole vaulting. If you can like get really good at pole vaulting or one of the things that happens in this decathlon, you could be like the best in the world. Like, that's how good this guy was.
Yeah.
And it turns out in November of 1986, as he's getting ready for the Olympics, a drunk driver recklessly took a blind curve and hit Stefan's vehicle head on while he was traveling to the USC Mainz training facility. You see how I put a little German on there?
Yeah.
Which I think was actually correct.
Okay.
He says the last memory. Yeah. The last memory of my Olympic dream was all the guys from the German decathlon team coming to my hospital room. It was an emotional farewell. Everything was over. My independence, my new life, my track career, my plans, all of my dreams. I certainly had a death wish. There were some dark times. He talks about alcoholism. He talks about recreational drugs and all. Everything was becoming like he was doing everything to an excess. And then finally, like, came through the fog and has a family and moved them from Germany to America. And he has a son, Xander, and he has another son. What's Xander's brother's name? Nicholas Schauffele. And they are starting to take on their dreams and their aspirations. They become golfers. And what would you know it, that Xander Schauffele somehow qualifies to be on the United States Olympic team, takes his dad to the Olympics, and out of all the people that performed in the Olympics, Xander Schauffele won the gold with his dad by his side, fulfilling his Olympic dream, making it into a reality. How fucking awesome is that story? It's the best story at the Olympics.
I love how much you love the story.
Yeah. You love the story.
I love it because we talked to Stefan, and he is such an eccentric, amazing person. I never knew anything about this. He had 8 like eye surgeries. He could barely like he had a fucking life-altering crash by a drunk driver on his way to pursuing his dreams. Imagine being a decathlon athlete. Is it a decathlete?
Yeah.
Imagine being a decathlete and then just like someone else taking that away from you. That's just fucking crazy. And then you have an offspring, you have a baby that ends up winning a gold medal out of all the things to do in life. You could have been an accountant. He could have been
doctor.
I guess I was screaming because I heard my mic extremely
sales guy
laughing at me. You could have been a sales guy. You could have been a fucking
lawyer.
You could have been a prosciutto Trash cutter at you could have been a prosciutto slicer at Uncle Giuseppe's in East Meadow. You could have been anything.
Electrician, cashier.
He was a gold medalist winning fucking athlete. What are the odds of that, guys?
Look. Small. It's an awesome story. I love it. I just don't love it as much as you love it. I love it.
I thought it deserved a recap.
It was a really good recap. Actually, I think you painted the story pretty well.
I didn't think you were going to find Xander's brother's name, and then you did, and it really kept going.
That saved the momentum for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah. I was thinking the 1986 decathlete. Didn't Mr. Kardashian, whoever, didn't he win the decathlete?
Caitlin.
Yes. And the same prior, Mrs. Her name prior would, was,
you know. That's Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
I don't know if that was his, was that his year?
I don't know. Didn't he win the decathlon?
I believe that was his sport, no?
I don't know.
Yeah, because he was like the Iron Man, right? Like he was like the greatest like Olympic athlete that like the United States had ever seen at that time. 86 actually does ring a bell. I feel like I've seen like the Wheaties box.
My Uncle Paul does the Iron Man stuff, goes to Hawaii every year. Unbelievably impressive what those people do.
I don't know if Iron Man is even close to decathlon stuff. I think Iron Man's different. Iron Man's like swimming.
In 76.
Right.
76.
As good as that Xander story is, and I agree with you, I don't feel like it's gotten nearly enough pub.
It doesn't. It does not get enough
pub. Because
that
type of story is what golf needs in the Olympics to like...
To give it something.
Like, that's the headline that, like, gets the eyeballs and people get excited about it. And
Bob Costas is sitting there with double pink eye talking about just, like, he's crying his fucking eyes out about Stefan sitting there.
The pink eye performance from that man is
so good.
That was the Winter Olympics, right?
Where were they? In, like, Sochi or something like that?
I think it was Sochi, and he, like, just couldn't get out of there. He had double pink eye. People thought, the moment was getting to him. Just really tough stuff from Bob Costas.
My main takeaway from golf in the Olympics this time around is kind of what we talked about in the lead up, where we had the discussion, where does a gold medal fall, like with a major or, you know, an upper tier PGA Tour event or whatever. And it kind of played out the way that we said, where like, I'm glad it's happening and I'll definitely watch it to a point before I fall asleep because it's on so late. But for the guys that are actually playing in it, this means a shit ton. Mm-hmm. Like Rory talked about it. He's like,
I was wrong. Basically, he said.
Pretty much said, I was wrong. He didn't play the last time around, played this time, and he was like, this is as good as anything that I've played in. It's as important as anything that I've played in. Justin Thomas said something very similar. So I think that's certainly important, to have guys excited about it and saying to maybe the golfers who didn't sign up this time around, being like, I know you guys are kind of poo-pooing this, and we're all rich, and we don't want to fly all the way wherever to go play, but it is actually worthy, and it's a very important event for the game of golf. I hope that translates in the future to higher-ranked players going, all the best golfers in the world playing. Because right now, as a viewer, and I'm very happy for Xander, I'm very happy for Rory Sabatini, shout out to that 61, CT Pan, like that's a very cool moment for their careers, but it didn't break through to certainly general sports fans, and I think even some golf fans are kind of like, it didn't have the oomph that I wanted.
Yeah, I think if people like Rory give it its due, and then you think, you know, it's only once every 4 years, so you have less of a chance to win that than you do any other major. And I think
for sure,
from that standpoint, as generations continue to go on, like as a kid, they were never ever thinking, I want to win the gold medal in golf.
Right.
So this generation is kind of in like middle ground, if you will, from my standpoint, where they're always looking at the green jacket, the Claret jug, whatever the case may be, where maybe the young kids, certainly in the U.S., wherever, see this gold medal and see Rory talking about it, and now they dream of a gold medal as a golfer too, and that becomes part, basically, of, you know, the targeted trophies, if you will, of one's career. So
well,
maybe it just takes a little bit to change.
In our golf world, too, once we remove all of this from the Olympics, I think it'll be very a significant milestone that it'll be talked about whenever Xander Schauffele's mentioned with his career he's had for a few years now. He's come up short in big moments, tournaments, majors. It'll be his crowning achievement until, you know, maybe wins a bet. He's the gold medal winner. Like that'll be, and I think that, again, taking that away from Tokyo and then putting it in the silo that is like golf media and the golf world, that is going to get referenced for the rest of his career, especially the next year or two, while the Olympics are still fresh in everybody's memories. And I think that that's very cool. Now, whether we get to another spot in 3.5 years when we start talking about guys going to the Olympics or not, if people remember it, if it's fresh, whatever. But I think, like, to Frankie's point, I mean, Xander tweeting out those pictures all week, you know, from the crash, the newspaper clipping, then from the driveway with him and his dad, like, that added such real, genuine sincerity towards him wanting to win, and then he did win, and it was like, oh, this is huge to this guy. Like Justin Thomas talking about and tweeting about how much it meant to him, Rory's comments just being like, I'm wrong, Rory's the best, by the way. I do think that's going to go a much longer way for whatever reason this cycle around in growing the Olympics for golfers in the future than it did even the last time, and hopefully it sticks, because it was extremely cool to watch him hit that four-footer. By the way, does anybody on this show make that four-footer to win?
Nope.
No.
Right in the heart, too. Never had a doubt.
No chance.
You found another fact. I can see you scrolling.
Well, no. I wanted to make sure that I had all this right, because Eamon Lynch put out an outrageously good piece on Golf Week this weekend about just, like, basically the things that we were talking about, where, like, everyone always has a problem with you know, something in golf or sports, and we all like to find like the worst in it. But like for the people that are actually like attending it and trying to win, it's got to be like the coolest thing of all time. And he had this one thing in here. First of all, he's like the greatest writer of all time. I'm starting to read more of what Eamon puts out, and the way that he can like make you picture, what's the word? Like he like can paint the picture of what he's talking about so well that you're like, I mean, I read it like a fucking J.K. Rowling book. I feel like I'm reading fucking Harry Potter. He draws you in. It's crazy.
He also sneaks in a couple laugh out loud funny lines in most of them. Dude, this is one of them. Bryson.
Well, it's not funny, but it's just the way he writes this. He goes, some contend that the worthiness of golf as an Olympic sport is determined not by the stature of its competitors, but by those who stay home. Thus, when Dustin Johnson sat out of these games twice, it was entered as evidence that no one else should even bother either. This grasping at strawman mindset would grade restaurants on the views of people who don't even eat there. which is so true. Like, we see, like, a Dustin Johnson doesn't want to go there. Dustin Johnson's never played or, like, doesn't want to play for his country and – or, like, he doesn't know what it feels like to play in the Olympics. So, but we're taking his sitting out as evidence as to why it doesn't – it's not cool. And we're seeing that across the board. Every single time someone drops out, we're like, oh, it must not be awesome. And we said that as guys were dropping out on this very show. We're like, well, if these guys don't want to do it, why should we watch?
When the people we should be listening to are people like Rory, who had their minds changed, where he sat out and was like, he had a whole host of reasons, but he was like, I'm just not going to do the Olympic thing. Does it this time around. And he's like, I can't believe I ever missed this.
Right, and then he goes, and then some people say we should have amateurs in there. Maybe that will help spice it up. He says, would you have liked to watch top amateur ranked top amateur ranked Kita Nakajima was chasing gold rather than his compatriot, Masters champion Hideki Matsuyama? Like, these names are in there. They're enticing. They're fun. Guys are trying to win gold for their country, for themselves, for their team, for their dads, like fucking Xander Schauffele. I'm telling you, I really think that the Olympic golf took a huge step forward with this. I think because of guys like Xander and because of the storylines, we're going to see that guys are going to care more. The timing really sucked. I didn't watch most of it from 1 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning because it's a nightmare to try and watch fucking golf from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. on a fucking Thursday or Friday. Yeah. I mean, you have to sleep. I mean, it's crazy. The timing was outrageous, but it got me gassed up, as you guys can probably tell. I'm gassed up about Olympic golf. I would love to go to the Olympics and watch golf and see what it does to these guys and see how it affects them and like how
much
they
want
to
play. We're going to get you to the Olympics next time, Frankie.
Bro, he talks about like – and it doesn't have to be – again, I'm quoting fucking Eamon Lynch again. Not really quoting him, but I'm going to take some context out of it. He says like Novak Djokovic doesn't say the Olympics is one of the Grand Slam majors. He doesn't compare it to winning Wimbledon, but he cares so much about it that it is – he leaves it as like it's a nice addition to his career. And that's like a cool thing to be able to watch someone want to do. What are you guys doing with your little snorkeling?
Paris, baby.
Paris?
Paris, baby.
Paris. You're going to Paris. Frankie. You're going to Paris.
Paris?
Paris? Oui, oui.
Oh my God! I'll dominate Paris. I look like I belong in Paris.
You
throw those little blue shorts on me that are rolled up in like my dainty legs. Maybe I'll grow that mustache again, and I'll walk around with a cigarette in my mouth and like a really really thin T-shirt. Yep. And everyone's gonna be like, "Look at this fucking
local
Frenchman!"
Yeah, he's
oh my God! I'll eat so many croissants.
There you go.
I'll eat so many croissants. You'll fucking make your dick fall off.
And think about the next time, fingers crossed, there will be fans there. This time around, it was an empty golf
course. Will I still be alive by then? What year is it?
2024.
Yeah. Hopefully my heart can keep pounding through this
prosciutto.
Right.
You
know how sometimes you think about that? When there's big events, am I going to be there for it? I used to think about that for Christmas. Am I going to wake up tomorrow? Or like a big vacation. Like, man, I hope I make it tomorrow.
Stay with the hope. You know what I mean?
I hope I can make it. You guys have never felt that?
No,
like,
absolutely.
Come on, Trent.
I really have. You look at it.
Definitely.
Every Christmas?
A big night. Like, you're going to Disney tomorrow. It's I hope I don't fucking die tonight.
But the Olympics are the Olympics are a perfect example. It's something – Christmas is a little too often.
I'm just thinking like Santa's like – you should be thinking of Santa. You're thinking about staying
But the
alive.
Olympics are perfect because it is four – or now it's three
right.
years from now.
Right,
that is
right.
Like
wow.
– I could walk outside and get hit by a bus or whatever. Like, so it
– It's true. You got to avoid getting hit by a bus like a thousand times before then.
So
like
many
that is
got across the street a billion
times. Infinite amount of things.
But what I think you guys are saying, and I agree with you, every little piece of this, the Xander story, Rory's comments, JT's comments, how cool it was watching these guys go down the stretch, watching Xander make those putts, they're all little bricks in this golf Olympics wall that I think if you just keep piling those up, people will take golf in the Olympics much more seriously, including the actual golfers in the sport.
Agreed.
I agree.
People who wear Imperial headwear believe it's more than just a cap. Every stitch matters, and every moment should be cherished. We will never forget that each and every cap we make is a cap that will be proudly worn as a badge of honor, a commitment to be showcased, or a story to be celebrated. Our dedication to detail has driven us forward for over 100 years. So wherever you go, Imperial will be right there with you.
I'm trying to see, and this could be completely wrong, and you guys won't know this because it's been years since it's been your 28th birthday, but 28. Is there Whoa, something? All right. Is there something to like a certain amount of years?
What the fuck was that?
For everyone, 27
shot at yeah. us.
You guys even remember what happened back then?
Yeah, is there
get
something
your shots
about,
in before you die before is, Christmas? Seriously.
Is there something about like every certain amount of years for everyone? Like maybe it's your 28th birthday. It's the day you were born. Like I was born on Friday the 13th. And now this year, it's my 28th year around the sun, and it's Friday the 13th. One of my buddies said it was his day that he was born on too, turning 28. And then I know someone else, it was their day that they were born on. So I don't know if there's something going on.
I might be wrong here, but isn't it every 7 days? Like my birthday, let's say my 31st birthday was on a Friday. That means my 32nd birthday will be on a Saturday. It always moves one day over and over.
So would that be every 7 years?
Oh, so this is the fourth time you've
done 7, 14, 21, 28. Yeah. Does that make sense? Or
could be.
Do we think that that's right? Yeah. That's a cool little thing to know.
Yeah. It's your fourth birthday.
But then I know you have to mix in like leap years and
that's
things
what
like
I
that.
Mean.
So I don't know if what I said was right, but I know that it goes through the week, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
But then some days it can go from 24. A Tuesday to a Thursday or something for a leap year, you know?
Right.
Oof. I don't know. But get back to us. That's like a WhatsApp doc kind of.
Your birthday's on Friday the 13th?
I was born on a Friday the 13th. What does that make you feel?
It just makes that reaffirms everything I know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fitting.
Black cloud came out of my mom. Just like lights flickered.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
What do we think of this 7-for-1 playoff for a bronze medal?
Yeah.
What do we think of that? Was it weird, cool,
weird,
dumb? Dumb.
I think if I were
a little too much for a bronze medal. I think dumb.
If I were one of them, it'd be six people going for bronze.
What?
Wait, what?
No, you explained. You made the point.
No. I said it wrong.
Explain yourself, Trent.
No, I won't. I won't. I mixed it up in my head.
Are you okay right now?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Yikes.
I think the Olympics, though, in general, has things to figure out with regards to the play, like that's offered. I think they could change it around a little bit,
yeah,
and make it more interesting. But no, 7-for-1, it's a little bit.
It's a little too much. It's a little gimmicky. It's too many. Just too many for one. I don't like 7-for-1. I didn't like anything about that. I do think, you know, Eamon even says that in his piece. Like, there are a lot of things that need to – I keep calling it a piece, by the way. You like that?
Yeah, that's good.
He says it in his piece.
You
want to
just read his whole piece?
No, I don't think you can do that. I think that's, like, not good. I think people should go to golf.
Kirk Minahan's going through that right now.
Yeah, I can't be doing that. I think things need to be ironed out. I think that the players are starting to feel that they want to do it, and you just got to figure out a way. He even mentioned, like, is there, like, a men and women competition where, like one day they do alternate shot and, like, you can show the best pairing from the best country, like, who has the best golfers, men and women. That's really cool. Like, that would also add to it. So there's a lot of ways to add to it. I think it's definitely gained, you know, it's gained that respect, I think, amongst the players this year, for sure.
I think when Rory speaks, too, it's
totally,
it changes
about anything.
The tide. Right, and, like, he's so honest. He's so transparent. Like, he's my favorite guy to listen to
for
in
sure.
golf, and it's not that close. And
probably his accent.
Yeah, no, it's that not. Adds that, but like
100, Trent,
that
it,
doesn't
100%
take anything away.
Okay,
adds
to why
good,
you fucking
good.
Listen to him.
Trent, why don't you go? What's 6-to-1? What was?
No, I was saying that like if I were involved in it. Yeah. I would just leave.
Okay, you're just out of the competition.
Yes, I would. Okay, I didn't say it correctly, but I was like, if it's this
boy, did you
people,
not convey no. that?
I know
that was the biggest point.
When we were talking about
like
us
yelled,
involving
you just like yelled 6-to-1.
Well, broke 100, so now he thinks he's in the Olympic.
Like, why was the first thing for you to answer that question or that or you know respond to that? Because I've never said anything dumb on the show in my life, so I'm trying to figure
exactly.
out.
Sure, yeah, let's really turn the screws on me.
So what were you thinking? Why did you immediately put yourself in one of the six?
Because he said, what do you guys think of this? And I immediately started to think, like,
oh,
what?
If I was in the Olympics.
If I were.
So if we say, Hideki Matsuyama and Dustin Johnson went to a playoff, you'd be like, well, if I was Dustin Johnson, I would have lost that.
No, I'm saying he had said, what do you guys think of this playoff that took place? And I immediately, for whatever reason, put myself in a guy who is, it's seven people competing for a bronze medal. Okay. And I would just be like, I'm out of here. I don't want this
that
fucking bronze medal.
That makes sense.
That was not part of the story, but I appreciate you explaining it.
Why are we breaking down what I said?
I just pointed at Trent.
Yeah, started laughing at me.
I don't know. Because I've never, like I said, spot, never done.
No, Frankie's never said anything dumb on the show.
No, not once. It's my a opinion. Weird spot because you do can't we tell them like I'm just not playing for the bronze medal. That would be.
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was a funny thing to say, and now it's really, if you explain it over and over and over again.
Missing every time.
It misses every single time.
Do you guys think the caddies should get their own gold medal? Yes. Or should they get like 10% of a gold medal? They should. A little mini one, maybe a coin?
Give them a gold medal.
Really? Do you get a fucking, I don't know. Do you get a U.S. Open trophy?
Does a coach get a gold medal in hockey?
I think so, yeah. But I don't know that like the whole training staff would.
Yeah.
They're pretty but like the caddy's
on the bag.
But dude, like, you don't get like
a mental coach all the way.
The caddy doesn't get a U.S. Open trophy, and he doesn't get a green jacket. Caddy does not get a green jacket.
No, he does not. He
doesn't even get a sliver of the cloth. No. So it's like, I don't know. It's tough.
My gut says no.
I think that I spit everywhere. I think that they
let's talk
get,
about it.
I spit. I don't know. I got something going on. Okay. I just spit a little bit. I ate a lot of Chipotle, and I had a lot of cheese, and maybe things are just popping up right now.
Okay. What's your go-to Chipotle? What's your go-to Chipotle order?
You know, today I had a new Chipotle order that I've never had before because of this man to my left. He made me order a new Chipotle order, which is crazy because right. Chipotle is talk the ultimate. Like, Chipotle is the ultimate.
Same order,
you know?
I know what I'm getting every time.
I didn't make you do anything.
No, well, the amount you talked about it, you don't think I would.
I mean, I've been eating a lot of Chipotle tacos.
He had Chipotle tacos. You get the three tacos. I got one barbacoa. I got one steak one. I got two steak ones. One of them I threw a little guacamole in there. They were delightful.
I like them.
Light, you know, quick, easy tacos.
I will say, after the ping pong thing, I walked over. Trent had him, and I was like, is that Chipotle? Because three right. tacos, like, nobody gets.
No.
You get the burrito. You get the bowl.
That's it.
I tend to get the steak bowl, guac, covered up with all the goodies. But, no, I've never saw. Then when I saw you had three tacos, I was then intrigued. Or I almost just ordered it just to see.
I find that the bowl or the entire burrito is too heavy sometimes.
Oh, you're on a crazy taco kick recently.
Oh, yeah. Really crazy.
How are we going to get you out of this?
I don't want to leave.
You don't want to leave the taco kick?
No.
God.
Why would I want to leave tacos?
Yeah, when you find a good kick. You don't leave.
No.
Why would I want to leave?
I don't know.
I'm happy.
That, like, nervous, no.
Yeah. I'm just happy. Why don't you just not focus on what I'm doing and just let me say stupid things into a microphone and not go back on it and then let me eat tacos as much as I want.
Gold one medal for Olympics. What do you think?
For caddy?
Yeah.
No.
Lurch?
I'm a yeah.
Really? Full medal?
Full medal.
Maybe a small
I one? Think that the U.S. Open trophy claret jug green jacket argument was really good. I just don't know how you give the caddy a gold medal. I just don't know how you do that. I don't think give him a gold earring or something. I don't. You can't give him a medal. I don't know.
Is the coach's name on the Stanley Cup? Does anybody yes. know that? It is.
Oh, definitely.
There's something about going over there, like being in the Olympic Village or wherever they have to be like stationed and like the grind, especially this year of the Olympics, being a part of that. I don't think the golfers got a chance to be a part of it, but like the opening ceremonies, like if you're a part of that, there is like an argument to be made that like you are part of that like team that is getting awarded that medal. Like,
right.
I don't know, man. It's
you're
tough.
Part of the team.
It's tough because right. medals are just different. Like
I guess
back in the ancient Greeks, like they probably, you know, I'm just saying, like there's a lot of history.
I feel like they probably didn't even have medals all the way back.
They had to have ooh. Something.
I don't know about medals.
Maybe
though.
They put the did they put the green stuff around their heads? Like you know what I'm talking
the
about?
Ivory or whatever.
The ivory. You think they put like little crowns around their heads?
You want you move to Greece? Dude.
I guess my question on this topic is there any in any other Olympic sport? Is there anything like a caddy?
That's why I compared it to a coach, but like...
Coaches don't get a gold medal.
Do we know that for a fact?
Oh, I thought they did.
I made that up.
I'm going to look it up.
I said it as confidently as I could.
There's this thing called Google.
There's no way they're just giving out gold medals. They're not like
no,
Super
I know,
Bowl
but like for wrestling, like they give the coach... Like, I'd be interested. If like,
coaches do not receive Olympic medals, whether in a team or individual competition. When their athletes reach the podium, however, at some world championships and other elite sporting competitions, they are recognized with hardware. However, only the four who won the final received their medal on the podium. I don't even know what the rest of that means. I know is that they say they do not win gold.
Gold medals or medals
for
in general,
the athletes.
They're for the athletes.
Yeah.
Like that everybody gets a Super Bowl ring, but not everybody gets the Lombardi trophy.
How about this year? Yeah. Every gold medal
you
winner.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like it's just and I know
but the Lombardi trophy goes to the team.
Yeah.
So, I don't love that argument. You know what I mean? Like, are all these medals just going back to the country?
No, but you understand, like, the significance of the trophy itself.
Yes.
Like, the Lombardi is the fucking Lombardi. And they make a like, the guy who sweeps the floor at the football stadium gets a Super Bowl ring.
Right.
That's different. Like, I feel like the
and that's that additional hardware that Frankie was probably talking about in that point. Of, like, athletes get the medals. Everybody else in the surrounding probably gets a cool little trinket.
I think that's right.
How about this? So, Xander won the gold medal. He also won from the U.S. Olympic Committee this year, is paying both, I believe, all medal winners and then also Paralympic winners the same price, or relatively the same price, for the first time of all time, which is going to be awesome to see. $37,500, I believe, is the number per gold medal to the winner. Do you think you just give that to the caddy? Or are we getting crazy now? You know, I won the medal. You win the consolation money, like, that they're also giving with us. And we just had one hell of a fucking week.
Yeah.
I feel like that is the way to go if you're a golfer.
I'm into that. I also, like, I think, you know, I saw, like, him and his caddy taking pictures together with the medal. His caddy had the medal around his neck at one time. So even though they just gave him one medal, it's like they can share and take pictures. But caddy doesn't get to go home with his own medal. Okay.
No.
I think it's love caddies.
It's also interesting.
We've had a lot of our best stories we've ever had in the history of the show are from caddies. A lot of our best experiences have been with caddies. We fucking love caddies. I got to draw the line. I don't think caddy gets a gold medal.
Right.
We've never made the argument for, like, Joey LaCava. Like, we love Joey LaCava. We've never been like, that guy needs a green jacket.
No.
No.
Never once has it popped in our head being like, that guy was with Tiger Woods, got him through Thursday to Sunday. It was there on his bag. He won the greatest Masters of all time. One of the greatest come from behind stories of all time. Tiger Woods is back on top. Joey LaCava has to get a green jacket.
Give him that jacket.
Once.
Give him the
jacket.
We didn't
even think about it.
Right. Maybe give him a scarf or something.
Nothing. We didn't even say anything. We're just like, no, Joey's just like there.
He's just part
of it. He gets 10%.
Right. You know, it's crazy. Singapore, how much do you think they pay out for a gold medal?
Not even close to the United States. I'm going to say $1,000.
$738,000.
What?
So it's because I think it's because the U.S. gets so many that they just only pay out a little bit. Singapore, I mean, you must go back as a hero. So they're at $738. Taiwan's at $716. Indonesia, $346. You also get 5 billion Indonesian rupees or whatever.
The country now? Singapore? Have they won even one gold medal?
Well, that's the thing. They probably never.
That's right. So mean it by Singapore.
Right, it could be $10 billion.
That is so mean. We are going to give you $1 billion if you win a gold medal.
It's like, all right,
they just know they'll never even come close. We could be wrong. Maybe they're winning a couple.
Yeah,
I'm looking right now. They got zero medals so far.
Okay.
Right.
Make that number as high as you want.
Seriously. Who's our guys that are going to the front lines?
Huh?
What?
The golfers.
What? What are you talking about?
They're going to war. Are they not?
What?
For the Ryder Cup? Is that what you're talking about?
I thought that those guys had to get medal.
Okay. Sungjae Im. Right?
Thank you. Jesus. Oh. Hello. I mean,
you said our guys.
Yeah, from the podcast.
I was thinking U.S.
All right. No. We were thinking America, dude. We were doing the whole country thing, Frankie.
You guys couldn't think of one story where someone was going to war from golf?
Well, there's going a lot to war like metaphors going on here. Like, we're talking about the Olympics.
You just left something out of the story. Like, how are we supposed to pick that up?
You weren't supposed to pick up the two guys. I said, who are our two guys going to the front lines? It was like two shows ago.
I don't know if you said two. I think you said, who are our guys going to the front line? Which then it almost seemed like they were like going to visit them and like support.
No.
As like
Siwoo Kim.
Xander holds the.
Siwoo Kim.
And Sungjae Im.
Sungjae Im are just going to the army.
I forget the end of that storyline, but they're definitely closer to going to it.
Right.
I don't know
if there's more opportunities for them to.
We got a lot of tweets about those guys.
Almost not. Like, I read this whole thing. It was, I think it was Daniel Rappaport with Golf Digest who did a phenomenal piece on this, but he went through all of the history.
People probably didn't think we could read before this episode.
Definitely not me.
Now we're talking about two different fantastic golfers.
Pieces. And it was in amazing detail about the ways in which you can avoid the military service in South Korea, and it's like none. to the point where if you even are in any way suspected of trying to, you risk being like culture shamed badly, and in a place where that's what they care about, a culture about like respect and honor. Shout out to Smitty Barstool. If you are in any way suspected of trying to weasel around that, you will be like publicly canceled and shamed ruthlessly, because everyone does their military duty. Like nobody's supposed to think that they're like above it or better than that. And literally, like, the only way to do it is to win like a gold medal or a medal in the Olympics. And then there's a few other ones, but it wouldn't pertain for golf. So like, some have won it in like, if you win a gold medal, I think in like the world championships, you know, it's one of the exemptions, but like golf doesn't have that. So they're fucked is kind of what it sounded like.
It's so weird that they can't see that. Like, basically they're saying, if you're an extremely good golfer to the point where you win like a gold medal, you do not have to go back here. I mean, Sung Jae Im and Siwoo Kim are extremely incredible golfers. They just didn't achieve like that one thing because they played poorly one week. That's so crazy to me that they can't see, like, they don't need to be going to the military.
And again, it's a different culture, so they view things in a different way than we do. But it's like, having top-tier golfers like that is great PR. Like,
oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
For the country, you mean?
Yes.
Wasn't Sung Jae Im, like, your guy to watch for the next 5 years?
And I'll hold by that.
Yeah, he's going to be holding a fucking assault rifle. He's holding like an AK-47.
It is crazy, though. There's no, like,
your guy's gone. He's out of there.
Like, for that country, for support, it's like, yeah, I'll give you, like, 15% of my winnings over the next. Like, if they just let him play, like, he could do other support for the country, and that's just...
You just lost your guy in our little competition to the military.
Right.
Which is just outrageous.
You knew.
What they were describing, too, is that Seoul, South Korea... is like the same distance away from the North Korean border as like Brooklyn to Newark. And right across the way right there, like North Korea and their crazy person leader just have missiles pointed at like Seoul, South Korea. And that they take like this militaristic duty unbelievably seriously, because their biggest foe, who again is like an unhinged crazy person with like nuclear missiles, is a quick fucking trip through the tunnel away from just being able to, God knows, like, they just go to war. So
yeah, that's a
They take the duty extremely seriously.
And probably for like, and I don't know how important, I'm sure it's incredibly important from day to day, but like, I bet the world has some thanks to South Korea for like at least
holding
these guys off and like showing some sort of battle, and like, hey, like, you can't just fucking aim those things at us. Like, there's a lot of things going on in Korea that I don't know.
It's a tough neighbor to have.
That is a tough neighbor to have, man.
So again, you can't just be like,
that guy suck.
No, I'm pretty sick at golf, so I don't have to go do that, right? They're like, no. Like, you were born in South Korea. We nurtured you to be an adult. Now you will serve on the lines so that we don't get blown to smithereens by Kim Jong-un, who shot 18 on 18 holes of golf.
It's admirable. I'll give him that. Definitely. It's just psychotic.
I wonder if there's any more opportunities coming up, or if that was it. I really don't know.
I'd have to go back through the story.
But I know that they skipped the British Open because they wanted to prepare for the Olympics. So this was clearly a very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine the pressure?
No.
Like, we did that?
No.
What if you don't, like... I don't know, shoot par on a hole, somebody blows your head out. But if you
missed
do,
the putts.
Oh, yeah, it was 5 putts.
Something like that.
No, that was for the jail time. You get $10 million for every putt that you make. Everyone that you miss, you go to jail for a year.
Or maybe it was like if you were leading the Masters with like a 5-stroke lead and you lost. Like,
you'd get your head blown off. If not,
an 18, yeah.
Right. I mean, that pressure.
It's pretty close.
Dude, especially the pressure. A lot of pressure no matter what, but pressure in comparison to the other competitors in the Olympics. Yeah. Justin Thomas and Xander are like, all right, well, we're just going to go.
Saw Rory shank a ball because there was so much pressure going back like on the first hole, and made an 8, I think, and then he was just out of the tournament.
Right.
Like, no, this is different. This isn't just like win or lose, the Claire Jug.
It's legitimately all life-altering pressure.
Right.
It's heavy stuff, man.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, a couple things we got coming up. Northern Trust. We're going to be at the Northern Trust at Liberty National the entire week. Coming up in a few weeks, the first playoff event. And gentlemen, I got an interesting text. So we have this match coming up that people have been tweeting about with Phil Mickelson, Harry Higgs, Joel Damon, and who's fourth? We know who our fourth is in that.
Keith Mitchell?
Keith Mitchell, who won the Honda Classic a couple years ago. Great guy. We had him on the show as well. Catching, you know, some rumors that this isn't really going to be covered necessarily by, like, PJ Tour or anyone else, and that since we're going to be on site, we should just cover it.
Yep.
Yeah.
No brainer. What day is this going down?
Tuesday. I think it's on Tuesday of tournament week, which is going to be in, like, 3 weeks from now.
Hell yeah. That's how we start that week with a bang.
Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly right. Apparently, pretty big Tuesday money before these guys got going.
It's Tuesday before this tournament. Oh, Fourplay is just like showing us this match. Maybe the best match that's going on in PGA Tour that's not like an actual match. Like, this is a real match. The real matches go down prior to the events. It's not the like humdinger ones that you see on TNT with
Charles Barkley
and everyone playing grab bags. This is like, these guys are getting ready to play in a playoff tournament. I mean, yeah, it is. Like, it's this is the real deal. This is where all the cash gets moved. This is where winners are bred.
And it's natural. It was a natural social media, like, back and forth between Harry and Phil. Yeah. Yeah, we'll
have
cover
to
that.
See how close we can get to him. Get the trash talk. Harry Higgs, is Harry Higgs just going to, like, trash talk Phil? He's a trash talker. Yeah. And so is Phil.
Harry Higgs tweeted out that you're, like, one of his favorite people, Frank.
He did. It was an outrageous, like, he just picked one of us. It was nuts. I can't believe he did that.
Yeah, he did a Q&A, and somebody said, who's your favorite member of Fourplay? And he picked Frank Borelli.
It's got to be my man Frankie. That was nuts.
That's got to make you feel
you
good.
You know what it is? We had just a really good connection at Kiowa. Every time I saw him, we'd hug and, like, embrace, and something about him. Like, he would always say, like, a one-liner to me. I'd chuckle, and he'd be on his way. Like, we were just – he was vibing with me, and I was vibing right back. I love that guy. Absolutely love him. Can't wait to see him.
So we'll be at the Northern Trust all week. Folks should get tickets. Fans, obviously, Jersey. People could be there. We're going to be there all week. We don't really cover many PGA Tour events. In fact, we cover, like, no PGA Tour events. The only thing we really go to, we're sort of the Brooks Koepka of golf media. We go to the majors. We go to the U.S. Open. We go to the PGA Championship. That's pretty much it. That's because we get credentials. We have access. And on a weekend, week-out basis, we don't really have much access. We can't film a lot. The PGA Tour is much stricter when it comes to their filming rights, when it comes to a lot of their broadcasting partners. It's just tougher for us to roll in, do what we do, bop around the range, bop around the practice facilities, the practice rounds, and kind of get the type of stuff that we find interesting and our people find interesting. Northern Trust is going to be different. Liberty National, we're going to be there the whole week, like I said. We're going to be putting stuff out. We're going to be all over that golf tournament. I'm looking forward to it because, again, well, I don't know. We haven't really been to many PGA tournaments. Trent and I got banned from one time. And I don't know. We've really been back since.
No, yeah. We got banned from the Zurich Classic, you know, for whatever reason you can point to. But, yeah, we really don't. And this one's really close to us here in New York. So, I mean, we're going to cover that thing like a motherfucker. I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't even – I guess I went to the Barclays was basically – that was before this, right? The Northern Trust – was the Barclays tournament.
Yep.
So I went there to Glen Oaks, I guess, just as a fan.
When DJ won?
Yeah. I think I went for like a practice round or something.
Against Spain in the playoff. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah. I mean, I really haven't been to anything aside from that. So I'll be excited to see it. Oh, yeah. I think I was at the Barclays when I was at Bethpage, too. I was a big Barclays guy. So I guess I'll just be a big Northern Trust guy as well.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll be out there, like I said. People should get tickets. I think there's like a little beer garden or some other type of areas that we're going to hang out, try to do a live podcast or two, and just kind of do our thing. So if you're thinking about going to the Northern Trust, I recommend that you do because we'll be there. Next thing we got coming up, Band and Dunes. So we're trying to do a couple travel series every single year. We did Vegas. We did Northern Michigan, which will be coming out soon. Our last one for this year, Band and Dunes. I'm the only one here that's been there. It is in a lot of people's minds a golf mecca of the United States. It's Lynx Golf. All the courses, their five courses they have now, are ranked inside the top 100 for courses in the United States of America. And we're going to be there filming. That's coming up in a little over a month. But I thought Bandit Dunes on the radar. We got Trent's playing the best golf he's ever played. Coming off, again, pretty big series.
I've been walking to and from work for that trip.
Yeah, you got to prepare
those legs in shape.
Wearing golf shoes?
No. No.
That'd be nice. What, dude? I actually think that's a pretty good idea.
You're just on me today.
Go to Central Park and throw up the golf shoes and just do
what? You're just on me today.
You don't think it's a good idea to wear golf shoes if you're going to walk?
No. They're just different types of shoes.
I agree with Frankie on this one.
Like, of course you do.
Throw the shoes on. Those would be some all-time candid photos of people getting you.
Well, the ones that you wear don't even – what are they called? The MG4s?
Mm-hmm.
MG4
sneakers.
Plus. He's not looking at me.
No.
He has his head turned away.
He's shunning
you.
My point
is that
you're being shunned.
If you're going to practice walking like you're on a golf course, why don't you wear the fucking cleats, man?
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
It does, dude.
It does. They're just. Bro, I'm trying to build my leg muscles. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no, it's not a leg muscle thing. You've walked golf courses before. It's a foot thing, I heard, because it's so fucking hard on the ground. So maybe walking on the New York City concrete with some golf shoes would prepare you for the next month
Maybe I'll walk to work with no shoes on.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying making any sense? I understand that I've been
I followed you for a little bit, but
you don't think it's making sense?
If he's going to walk New York City in golf spikes.
Riggs did say, and I don't know why the fuck I'm going on Frankie's side.
Thank
here,
you.
But like he said that it's the ground is very hard, and it's your feet that really hurt. And what I'm talking about with walking to and from work, I'm just trying to get up the cardio. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm fat right now.
Breathe.
We were talking before, Lurch. We're both fat again.
Bad spot,
we just always end up in this spot. And I need my legs to just be able to carry my body through all those golf courses, but I do understand that
I don't want my toesies to hurt.
I don't want blisters.
Do they have a spa there? Can I get my feet massaged or something?
I don't think it's that kind of place. It's just hardcore golf. That's pretty
it's
much
just
it.
Golf.
Yeah, that's it.
Which I'm very excited for, but I just want to make sure my body is in the best shape.
Does Bandon do
bring two pairs of shoes?
Does Bandon
pro tip, bring
live
two
up?
Pairs of shoes when you in the middle of that day? Sorry, Frankie. Actually, I'm not that sorry. You can just shut up. I'm going to talk for a second.
Okay.
During the middle part of the day,
everyone's like, yes!
If you just,
finally! That one guy that sits home and like tapes he times how many seconds I talk, and he's like, he's 37 seconds over the average!
I don't want to act like I'm on their side, but I am on my side right now in this podcast, so that's why I said preach.
Oh, God.
Go
ahead, Riggs.
Like Lurch just said, if you bring two pairs of shoes and you just change shoes in the middle of the day, even if you're playing 36 one day, it'll actually save, for whatever reason, I don't know the science behind it, just throwing a different look at your feet, shoe-wise, saves your feet for the trip.
If you can do two pairs of socks, too, in there, just like when you change your shoes, change your socks also, it's a big difference. You get some fresh socks in there, crack the toes once, let them breathe for a second, makes it a big difference.
Two pairs of socks within the same round?
No, so you finish 18 holes and you're going back out for 36.
Yeah, okay, gotcha, yeah.
No, when you switch your shoes, switch your socks as well.
Okay. I lie. I want all of the advice I can get, honestly.
Are we doing 36 in one day?
No, but most people do when they go on this kind of trip. But I do figure we'll probably hit the reserve, the par 3 course. You know, might get excited to play some emergency 9. But you're right. These, when we film the whole day, we don't usually play 36 in a day.
I'm excited. Does Bandon live up to the hype, or is it like one of those places where it's like there's so many golf courses, there's a couple of really cool holes on the water that like does it live up to the hype of like being a place where you have to travel from across? I mean, we're traveling, 6 hours on a plane to get all the way to Oregon to get on this fucking golf course, this golf resort. Is it going to live up to the hype? Is it a place that I'm going to not believe?
I would say Bandon Dunes is the single best single golf destination in the world.
Okay.
Wow.
Whoa.
Sold.
More than
now,
the old course.
Again, if you go to you go to the old course, but I think you play the old course. There's a couple other really cool courses that are part of St. Andrews, like Jubilee or whatever. They're cool. But I wouldn't consider that a single golf destination that's as good as Bandon Dunes overall. Like all five of their courses are off
that's
the
crazy.
Charts.
All How top 100.
All top 100 in the country, and they're all literally on the same property, the same 2 second shuttle. It's so good. The only thing I put up there with it is Pinehurst. you know, Pinehurst doesn't have the ocean, but Pinehurst has the history. It's got the main campus with the cradle and all that. But, like, Pinehurst, Bandon, I think Cabot, once they start to get a few more courses. Obviously, Aaron Hills doesn't have as much, but, you know, we all, like, Aaron Hills has a special place in our heart, the experience being in Wisconsin, all that. But if you were to actually pick out, I'd say, like, one single destination to bring a golfer where they're going to play a handful of courses in the same spot, I don't think you can find five better golf courses than they have at Bandon.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm jacked.
Me too.
I'll start walking to work with my golf shoes on now.
It'll be an epic video too. That coastline. It's going to be beauty.
That drone bit. We're going to bolster up those propellers coming off that.
We're going to need serious propellers. It gets windy as fuck.
Windy, yeah, I've watched videos of this fucking place. It's nuts.
Might have to get a sweet drone for us then.
Yeah, it'd be a first.
Ooh. Every time I hop with a drone, I help.
Yeah, get him.
Yeah. Well, I gotta go to fucking Best Buy to buy my drones. You literally sell drones for a living.
Yeah, the law enforcement.
Crazy.
Law enforcement.
It's insanity.
Whew.
We got a drone over
here. How much sleep did you get last night?
He's nasty.
Frankie. Huh? How much sleep did you get last
night? Oh, I'm in a good mood.
Okay.
I'm in a good mood.
I had to hit it off Frankenstein's fat foot.
Jesus.
There you go.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's been fucking
out time.
An hour 30?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been an hour.
What do you mean you have no idea?
I don't know the time.
It's pretty close. I'm looking right at it. It's like right around there. Right around there. We'll take that.
Holy shit.
We have to take that.
I looked at him like you were insane. I was like, what are you fucking talking about?
We were talking about feet earlier, so I said that's a
good one. Oh, man. All right.
Way to go, Ebo.
Yeah.
It's got to be close to an hour and a half. Yeah. Yeah.
Jake Bass says it's an hour 30. So
that was fantastic.
Yeah.
How fun is that?
There was. I love it. There was a split second where we all forgot what he was doing, and we were like, what the hell just happened?
So for anyone that doesn't know, we do a nice little segment called, what, Ninth Green at 90 Minutes? Yeah. And you just randomly say a quote from Happy Gilmore at the 90th minute.
And
it's a shooter quote.
When did we start that? Maybe 3 months ago?
Yeah, first time it's ever happened. Yep. That's fantastic.
So when you said it's a little thing we do, it's like, well, kind of.
It is now. It is. Now it's a thing we do.
Bro, I looked at him. If you see me, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're ruining it. He's just like, I looked at him like, what? You just said some random word.
No, we got to edit this shit out.
That was great.
Hold on, bud.
I got another
what were we talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
The last time your birthday was on Friday the 13th was 2010. So I was on Trent's logic, where it was like every seven years. So
yeah.
I went right to 2014, and it wasn't on Friday 13th.
Yeah, the leap year fucks it up. Yeah.
The leap year does a four-day edition.
So it's still
so 4 year edition.
Since 2010.
2010 was the last time.
So you really go every 11 years then kind of thing with leap year?
I don't know the math, but I was just saying
okay.
That.
I was in 11th grade.
Because I was hoping it had happened. Oh, wait. When was the last time it happened? 2010.
I was in high school.
Weird.
Yep. Mm. All right, so Bandon. I'll live it up.
I'm excited for Bandon.
I actually won't be living it up. I have to go to a fucking wedding rehearsal dinner on my birthday. They had the balls.
That's good.
And you know where it is?
I'm happy.
Yeah, you know where it is? You know where it is? Borelli's. Okay? So that's where I'm going that night. But it should be fun. I'm very excited.
Are you
for
working
them.
The event? Or are you?
No, I'm going. I'm in the wedding party.
Oh, okay, nice.
At Borelli's. It's going to be fun, though. We have a steel drum
band.
Thank
them
band
for the business.
Night.
It's good for the business.
Oh, amazing for the business. I love it. We have a steel drum band that night, and we were like,
really?
Kind of a weird combo to have at an Italian restaurant. My dad's like, wait until you see these people. They are fucking outrageous. And I don't know if it's a husband and wife or whatever, but they set up outside, and they sing songs that you couldn't believe how good they are.
Hmm.
Motown, classic rock, and the guy's hitting – he's got a little bit of a steel drum band mixed to it. That's happening that Friday.
And do you 13th. Open up the outside for that as well?
Yeah, that's outside, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
And then last thing in terms of our schedule coming up is we will be at the Ryder Cup as well. Now, I'm a little bit upset because I'm looking at their fucking website and it says Ryder Cup 2020.
No.
That's unfortunate.
Does it say that within the logo or does it say that within the URL?
Yeah, it says the logo. Unlike the, you go to RyderCup.com, it's got a countdown clock, Rolex clock. 48 days, 12 hours, 7 minutes, 56 seconds. And then it says Ryder Cup 2020 in the corner.
That's a joke. It's a fucking joke. You lost 2020. You didn't win. You didn't overcome. You didn't defeat it.
We all lost.
We all fucking lost 2020. We were locked down. We weren't able to go out. We weren't able to attend events. There was no Ryder Cup. It did not happen in 2020. It has to say 2020.
We were there, too, for an early promotional event, and we got 2020 Ryder Cup gear. And I wanted that to kind of just live. But now, if it's just the 2020
Ryder
Cup,
that's why
everybody's going to have it.
I bet you that's why they keep it, too, yeah, man.
Because the merch was already done.
That's like so little amount. Yeah, but the merch is
cool. It's like my shirt that I have that says Bartstool Sports on the back of it. That's like a cool keepsake from everything that happened. Like you said, it's almost a little ode to the pandemic year and the memory and us kind of remembering that all of that happened. Everything's just going to say 2020. Is that so? When they cut back from a commercial, is it going to be like dun dun dun? Ryder Cup 2020 logo is going to pop up.
But they've been saying that during the
2021. They're going to put that on the screen.
What's it going to say in the channel guide when you click on it? Is it going to say the 2020 Ryder Cup? Because that's.
That's a good question.
That's wrong.
Dude, they've been doing that with the Olympics, man. They say we are live from the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. It's crazy.
You just got to be – we all have to be adults and call it the year that it actually is.
It's almost over. 2021 is almost over.
Not even close to 2020. 2020 is
– we're closer to 2022 by a landslide than we are 2020.
And by the time this Ryder Cup starts, it'll be 2022 essentially.
You know, I'm upset. Who do we have to talk to? Seth Waugh? It's got to be something with like
imagine
the signage.
Him.
You know what it is? It's got to be something with the signage and all the logos everywhere, the uniforms, all that stuff, you know, just the merchandise.
Just get new signage. It's fucking signage. I know. Signage.
Double the price, I guess.
Signage.com. Just take out the zero, put a one.
Seriously. You know what would even be better? If you just walked around with a marker and you just crossed it out and wrote one next to it.
I agree with
like,
that.
Like Seth Waugh actually went up with like a fucking red definitely marker and was like one.
Or you just
one. One.
Right. You don't cross out the 2020. You just go over the zero and you just put one. The one over and people are like,
now
yeah,
just one.
That's just what happened. This is the one. You critiquing my one now?
I would add a little hat to it in the floor.
No, I just think of like correcting a paper when you've already printed it out and says like you would say zero and you just put one on just that outrageous amount of ink. That
yeah.
Like if you had to do this, would you just do a line straight down or would you fluff it up a little bit and throw a little sauce on there and add the little hat?
I think for something like this, you got to add the hat and the feet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You can't just go straight down because then it becomes it looks like what is it in Harry Potter, that thing where it's like the circle, the line, it's the tri wizard it's the Deathly Hallows. No, the Deathly Hallows. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, is that the Deathly Hallows sign?
Yeah, it's a triangle, the circle and the one in the middle.
Yes,
I don't know. It's a fucking you're looking at the Deathly Hallows. There it is. You see that? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
I can't
exactly
see that, Riggs.
No,
I'm sorry.
You can't see shit.
Can't see anything. But
shout out Harry Potter.
I believe you. I know.
Two Harry Potter references by me today.
Have we talked on this very show about how great TSA PreCheck is?
Yeah.
We touched on it.
I think we talked about it at Forest Dunes.
Was that on the show or was that?
I'm almost positive.
No, I was on the show because I was talking. It's like Easy Pass for airports.
Yeah.
And if you blend that with clear, and it's like boom, boom. You're just to the front. You
yeah,
because
I
be stop.
Yeah, because then
so
I.
This
was,
is my
yeah
new thing.
Yeah.
People were telling me to get clear too, and I'm like 007 of fucking air traffic.
One of the early Frankie Lurch competitions was there was a line at an airport, and I saw you stuck in it, and I just went right up to the clear counter, bought access or whatever it cost me, and then just beat you inside.
No, I have clear.
You weren't using that day then.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't have clear.
Yeah, no, I've always shoved my clear right up your guys' asses.
Seriously.
Every time.
And then one time I remember, and normally you do, you shove it right up my ass. But one time I sent you a picture of a line that I was in, and you hadn't gotten to the airport yet, and you were like, ha, you fucking suck.
They
didn't have clear, and I felt great.
Yeah.
You were behind
although
me.
Every time I get through it, I'll just text Trent and be like, you guys need anything? Like, you guys need any water? Or I'm just going to grab breakfast while you guys wait online.
I don't know if I want others to get it. Because if everybody starts getting it.
How hard is it to get TSA PreCheck?
He said it's pretty easy. It's
unbelievably easy. It's not even
how long does
it
take?
I used to think it was a meeting. It's not even a meeting. You show up. They just like take your fingerprints. You wait 5 minutes maybe while they just do paperwork and shit that people do. And then you leave and they email you within a few days and you just get a known traveler number. And then what's a joke about it is that you, like, they don't even really check you at security. No. You're just like,
you don't take off your shoes, nothing.
Yeah, Riggs, we met you a few years ago. You're like, for the next 5 years, you basically can just get on any plane that you want. You don't take any shoes. You don't take anything out of your backpack. It's amazing.
So you can't do this the morning of a flight, no. Right? It's got to be a couple days in advance.
I would say the process safely stay is about a week.
Can you do this at the DMV or can you only do this at the airport?
I bet you can do it at the DMV. No, I didn't do it at the airport. You go to these like registered locations, like identity locations, and you go there. Riggs talk like it's not a meeting at all. You just tell them your information. And they're like, is there any like rejection processes? They're like, probably not. You'll have it. I think their disclaimer says that it could be 30 to 60, 90 days. And I was like, is that real? And then they're like, no, usually you get it within like a few days.
Some lady the other day saved me. I roll in. I'm flying like Southwest out of Phoenix. And the line to check in for Southwest was probably 100 people. And I just didn't have that much time. And some lady came walking right by me and just goes, hey, there's no line outside on the curb. You just check your bags. Takes 1 second. I was like, what? Walked outside. Handed the guy $5, checked my bags in probably 30 seconds. Then he put my known traveler number on my thing, too. I was in security, man. Maybe 2.5 minutes after that lady said that, I was like at the gate ready to rock. It was insane.
Those people outside, they don't work for the airline, though. It's like a privatized group, I feel like. Like when I look at the labels on
they work for.
Right, I know, but I don't really understand how that works.
2 seconds. No, totally agree. It was a. But she just saved me big time.
Yeah, it's like mandatory tip out there. Like you have to give them $5 or something like that.
So there's nothing
that might be worth $100.
Oh no, totally.
There's nothing similar to TSA PreCheck or Clear for checking your bags. They haven't come out with that yet.
No.
Curbside check-in.
Yeah. The baggage process is always feels
especially
long.
For golfers, man. Sometimes like that is what makes you miss a flight or really, you know. People just like you. I've been grinding to make a flight before, and then you get stuck behind these international like flight families that are like they're going back to wherever or they're coming from wherever, and they have their whole house on one of those little trolley things, and you're like, I can't believe you're checking these many bags behind you. No. There's got to be something I can pay for to get some sort of express line to just drop my golf bag on and just be on my way.
Well, they have
behind
terminals.
A family.
But
the other day,
if there's no terminal, then like some airports don't, then you're screwed. Because you can go there, print your thing out, and just drop it in baggage.
True.
I was behind some family check. They were checking boxes. Like
yeah,
packages.
It's nuts.
They were. I was like, what is this? This isn't FedEx. Like we're trying to go to a fucking destination here. You shouldn't be allowed to do that shit. No. It was unbelievable. It
feels like a security risk.
That's why I was flagging them left and right. Hello.
I've got to get pre-check. I can't have you have a better like.
Experience
no. Like flight, anything better? Like line experience than me.
It's
that'll hurt.
Now I'm sure Riggs. Actually, I don't know Riggs, but we were talking about status. Now I have like status on all these airlines because I'm just buzzing around, and so the experience is.
See, I haven't looked incredible. Into that. I have like a Delta card, and I feel like we fly so much Delta, and I'm some sort of like silver medallion person. Like I don't know what that gets me. I got to talk to Delta and be like, what does this get me?
I got United and American. I got really good. Like, I did that day trip last week to Vegas, and I got upgraded to first class on the way.
See, what does that mean? Did you have to?
I just bought an economy ticket, and you just see your name in the app, and it just skyrockets to the top.
That's insane.
And then they just say, like, promote it to, like, 7E or whatever.
That's
it is.
Nuts.
It's the best experience. Trent's looking
see, I
got to
get on
like,
that. I'm leaving a lot on the table, good. I feel like.
Oh, tons on the table. It's when they start treating you like that, it's really nice. You got a card on file in case you want like a little snack because you need a little food. It's very you become a member. It's like a club.
Love clubs. Clubs are sweet.
That they are.
All right, boys. Anybody got anything else for me? Or are we ready to put a bow on this fucking thing here?
I know you're at Erin Hills. I'm excited to get there. I'm going this weekend for my dad's 70th birthday. COVID, too. So
wow.
70th birthday was last year.
Tell me you're calling it his 70th birthday.
Huh? No, it's his 71st
okay.
birthday.
Okay, because that is
the that whole one's show. A little
the
different.
Whole show.
You get a COVID year. I don't know.
No,
I don't think
essentially
we can do that.
What
after
the
what
fucking
we've been saying.
Ryder Cup saying.
Right.
The Olympics.
No.
You're celebrating
you
his...
It's 71st birthday.
Okay.
It's 71st... Bruce Evans, 71st birthday.
On the cake, you better not write 70.
No. We're not doing
Happy birthday, Bruce. 7-1. I am glad you brought that up because we're here. We're when people are listening to this, we'll be doing the Barstool Classic Tuesday. Every year we like to slide in a couple special stops. We did Chambers Bay, Erin Hills this year. Again, this is top five golf spot for me in the world. I love Erin Hills. Lurchy, I hope you guys have fun. Happy birthday to Brucey. And then a big thanks to Newport National. We were out there this past weekend with a bunch of our kind of Boston and like New Hampshire crew that Lurch and I know from a long time ago, him longer than I. And we back nine bandits. Lurch is our captain. This was the 10th annual. First year or two wasn't an official competition. We're 8-1 all time.
Yeah, really good.
Congrats.
So nobody knows the score of year one, and that was kind of the kickoff. We had 8 guys on this trip. Now it's pretty much been 20 every year since then. But I will say, to go along with the earlier point of the show of what you should do, focus on your golf game, take a lesson, go from there, plan a buddy's trip if you don't have one, and just make it a yearly cadence, because this thing's been going on for 10 years. And so now it takes priority over things. And like the gals, the wives, they respect it. I don't have one of those, but everybody else that comes on, like, no, it's like this is part of your year. You're going to be gone for this weekend. So, yeah, thanks to Newport National. It was an awesome, awesome experience up there. Love the town of Newport, paying for it today, but it was a great trip.
Next up on my agenda, I'm going to roll out to dinner at Erin Hills, and then we're going to have a little putting contest. Myself, Zach, Ian, Nick, Justin, and crew. Zaz here. Jake Bass is here on the Drumlin putting course right over by the main clubhouse. So that's next. We got a big putting tournament tonight.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Well,
absolutely
enjoy.
Fantastic. Place looks incredible. I got a message from one of my buddies, Kyle, that's just like, I think you guys met Kyle. Yeah. And he's just like, how does Riggs get from course to course? Every day on Instagram, he was at Erin Hills, Newport National, Erin Hills. If you're just casually viewing his Instagram stories, it's like he's a wizard. It's crazy. You're just popping up all 100%. Over the place. I mean, those are not easy places to get to. Erin Hills back, and Erin Hills is not an easy trek.
Did you catch a flight to Milwaukee from Providence, or where'd you fly into?
I flew Providence to Chicago, drove 2 hours last night up from Chicago. So
it's a grind.
You can kind of hear my voice has been grinding all day. It's a small price to pay. But I do, Frankie, I'm aware of the wizardry outward appearance, and I try to kind of curate it that way because I know people are casually looking at the story, and they got to just be popping it up going like Whitney. Whitney responded to it and was just like, you're fucking back there already? How did that happen?
It's insane. I was trying to, like, do you think you're playing better golf consistently, like, course-wise, than anyone in the world? Better than anyone on the PGA Tour, right? You gotta think stuck at the same course.
There's just, like, super rich, successful dudes that only belong to, like, Pine Valley and, like, Seminole that are giving me a run for my money, but probably pretty close.
I think you're number one.
That might be the best question you've ever asked, because when I think about it, I can't think of anybody else that honestly is even close.
You blow PGA Tour players out of the water with the status of courses you're playing on a regular basis.
He's not just traveling around like one spot where you're just kind of like might be bad. You're just going to golf destinations, like world class. You get one of them in your life. Like this trip with my pops, like this is like the one trip he's ever done like in his life. Yeah. Like he's played local, courses. Actually, he did one trip to Scotland with his buddies, but he hasn't done that in 10 years. And Riggs is just, I played that last week, played this, I'll play that tomorrow.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Let's just go through the Gin app, just the last, 20 scores I posted.
This will bring people to
the wait a minute.
I got to go watch The Bachelorette.
Yep.
As much as I want to hear about all those courses, I got to go watch The Bachelorette.
He is squirming over here.
Yeah,
he's got to get over
stuff.
All right.
All right.
I love you. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Way to go.
We'll talk about you a little bit.
Okay, that's fine.
No problem.
My last, I'll read them just to put kind of wrap up this conversation. Erin Hills, Newport National, Erin Hills, Whistling Straits, Erin Hills, Bailey Farms, Forest Dunes.
Stop because this is getting ugly.
Forest Dunes Black, Forest Dunes Red, Grand Traverse Resort, the Bear Course, Belle Reve Country Club, Liberty National Golf Club, Liberty National Golf Club, Missouri Bluffs Golf Club, Lake Forest, which is St. Louis, Legend Trail Golf Club out in Scottsdale, Montreux Golf and Country Club, Jack Nicklaus Course out in Reno, Nevada. And then there's a bunch of, Silverleaf, which is a big Scottsdale one.
It's crazy.
Wico Pop.
People are just trying to off you right now.
Cypress Point.
Tehama, Pebble Beach, Torrey Pines South, Mesa Country Club, Greyhawk, Torrey Pines South,
Olympic Club. Shout out to the people of Bailey Farms because, like,
yeah,
awesome public track up there.
The only real golf course right. Riggs has played in the last year.
Bailey Farms.
Yeah. Everything else fake.
Right.
Maybe a couple of the St. Louis ones, probably.
Maybe
like
Bellerie. I mean, that's world class.
Yeah, like, Bellerie is like, yeah, isn't that one of the most exclusive Bellerie. Clubs in all of like Missouri?
Yeah, it's exclusive as it gets in St. Louis.
So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you're fucking killing it. You're killing that list is something, man. It is fucking something. I mean, our list isn't as like is
no, our
nothing
list
to
is
sneeze
incredible.
At. Nothing
but
to sneeze at.
The consistency of
consistency
play,
is nuts.
The dates. Because, like, we'll go back. Well, obviously, Farstoons, The Loop, et cetera.
Right.
You'll see Newport National. But then you drop in, like, two Liberties. I guess you were there. Just, like, right. All these things.
No, it's crazy.
It just continues. And then he throws in Whistling Straits, just, like, ho-hum, didn't even, like, brush
Cypress
forward,
was
right.
The best one. That-
and I'll be at a bunch of these, like, pretty cool public tracks in Scottsdale that I go play to, like, film the Riggs Verse videos. I just skipped over when I was reading all
right.
That.
Right. No, it's impressive, like, man. The question
play
had
the Drumlin and enjoy yourself at Erin Hills because that place is so
I
bad.
Do think you're number one in the world for best golf consistently this year, for sure. 2021, you have to be number one.
I would say go near Jeanette, take a screenshot, and send it.
No
send
one's
it
even
way.
Close.
No one's
you'll get messages of, like you said, 15 rounds in a row at Pine Valley. But, like, right. What does that even mean? Like, that no. You're playing the same golf course every single day.
Right.
Right.
Like, you're not throwing in a Whistling Straits, a Cypress, a Pebble
exactly.
Beach. Like, you're not throwing in the – you're not tossing those hats into the ring.
I so, like to
play
right. In those golf courses. It's really – it's fantastic.
It's very cool.
I want to apologize to the 55-year-old man that I got chippy with at my roller hockey game last night.
Wow. I don't think you have to apologize for that based on what I heard.
You know, it was just one of those scenarios in which, like, we were just faster and better than this older team who's clearly been playing together forever. And this one defenseman, this older man who was clearly just the big old guy on the team, when he got beat to, like, the front of the net or if someone beat him around, like, his move was to, like, hook you or push you and really dig into, like, your hip. And it's roller hockey, man. And I was just like, dude, like, I want to score goals. I don't want to score goals that much. Like, you got to stop, like, touching me. Like, this is nuts. It's fucking hockey. Like, we're trying to go to work tomorrow. Like, what are you doing out here? Just because I'm beating you, like, you're getting angry? And then one time he did it, and I just, like, slashed him on top of his skate and, like, dug my stick into the back of his roller skate. And he, like, looked at me and goes, "You little twerp." Like, and I was like, oh, the big bully's, like, coming after me again. Oh, everyone watch out. And I probably said something fucking stupid to him. Oh, yeah. He goes, "I'm a big old man out here." I was like, "You're playing like one." And everyone was like, "Ooh." And, you know, it got a little chippy. But then we, you know, after the game, we gave each other knucks, and it was on its way. But that was my first time really, like, you know, I felt, like, the heart kind of flutter because he was looking over me, down at me. I'm like, dude, this is a fucking grown-ass man. Like, this guy's got, like, grandpa strength. He's going to murder me.
Frankie with another goal and two apples, though. The kid
yeah,
just...
no, I'm playing hockey right now. You know,
how bad
point
is
per
your
game
league?
Time.
How
it's
bad
not
is
bad.
Your league?
It's not bad. We actually lose
you've
most of the games
you've never played
play.
Hockey before, and you're the leading scorer.
I got to get someone to send video. Like, I've 15 games played 15 points.
That's
I'm a,
so
I'm a,
stupid.
I'm a point per game player. But also, like, guys on my team have, like
30.
No, like, a guy will only show up to, like, three or four games, and he'll have, like, 11 goals. Like, yeah, I'm, like, higher than him.
Got
but,
it.
Like, they just don't make as many. Like, there's significantly better players on our team than me. I'm just finding a way.
I'm not trying to take –
Yeah.
Anything
I'm finding the net. I'm finding the net.
If somebody's like, I never played golf before, I'm the low scoring average in my golf league after like 10 rounds. Nice. Everybody'd be like, well, who the fuck are you playing against? Like,
but like, I've played hockey. I played all my life like playing on the street and we would go to outdoor rinks. And like, I just never played a uniform game where like I was on a team. We had to legitimately like follow the rules of the league. Like, we would play for hours upon hours upon hours upon hours all my life growing up in the street or at outdoor roller hockey rink. So it's fun to finally play where, like, when you score, like, the buzzer goes off and, like, the score right. goes on the scoreboard. Like, I'm finally, like, finding my stride in, like, men's league hockey. I wish I could transfer that to ice, but I don't know if that's in my future.
What's been the biggest improvement in your game? Is it hands or is it skating?
Well, getting better players on our team to where, like, they now –
You?
No, like they just make things happen, and I with like because I've watched so much, I know the place.
Banking shots off you in the net.
No, I know like the places to go. Like last night, it was like the first goal of the game. This guy Nick took it in on the left side. He had so much speed, shot it right off the goalie, and I found my way in front of the net, lifted the defender's stick, and roofed it right over the goalie's shoulder. Like a nice rebound into the right side of the net. Like that's a nice goal. But I obviously couldn't take that puck from end to end, bring it around the defender because I don't have that in me. But I have, like, I knew to follow him and find his little garbage. You know, I find right, the garbage. Yeah. I clean up the garbage. Pat, it's sick.
You got a nose for the net. You got a nose
I
for
got
the
a
net.
Nose, man. It's yeah. fun. I got a game tomorrow night. I'm fucking jacked.
Hell I love yeah. it.
Absolutely
sometimes
jacked.
You get a fun men's league. There's nothing better. You look forward to the games. You're, like, done with work. It's like it's almost like you're a kid again.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got, like, I don't know.
Heart pumping. Right, right. 3-3 game going to the third. You're like, I'm going to murder someone. Dude, Brendan knows. Roller hockey on Long Island gets really serious.
It's like a hot. It's like a low-key hotbed.
Do you know
it's,
this league?
I know where he plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to blow up. Well, maybe someone will come down and film. Yeah. But yeah, I've been.
I would love to see some footage of you coming
bro,
down.
Bro, he's got fun. Buddies that like yeah. are legitimately pros at roller hockey.
Right.
Like
yeah, they're from here.
The Tiefenworths.
Yeah. Shout out. Wow.
Shout out them.
Tiffenworth. Shout out.
I played with KJ. Growing up, who is a really good hockey player. I think his family also started this triangle stick. Really
I don't know weird. What that means.
There was a triangle stick. It wasn't.
Yeah, I remember that. The shaft was like a triangle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a goalie, and so are you. So right. I never use it, but yeah. I remember right.
Dude, shout out E-Bug. We played at so we did the Barstool Classic.
We ended this podcast.
I know, whatever. We did the Barstool Classic, and we played, obviously, with, like, Anders Lee, Brock Nelson. Yeah, we had Vinny Letary and mother. Brady Shea. It was perfect. But, like, all the guys, like, couldn't have said better things about you. It was crazy. Like, bro, Brock asked me for, like, your Instagram handle. Like
the next day.
Yeah,
crazy.
He's just like.
So did Anders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because from being E-Bug?
Just, like.
Yeah. Hanging out.
Yeah, just like he was like talking hockey with them.
Ever.
You knew some of like their like you knew some of the guy's friends from hockey, and like they were talking to him about that's hockey. Awesome. Like, when did he start playing hockey? When did he start with? I mean,
did
it couldn't.
Tell, I didn't tell him that I was there either.
No, I never told him that.
Me neither.
You know, actually, I should tell them that. That's nuts.
Like one day he might. Never
well, it just sucks that they never invited you to like play during the practice. I feel like some E-Bugs get invited to go play
I've
during
said
practice.
Since day one, that's not the only reason, but that's the main reason why I wanted to do it.
Right.
Was to skate like one of those bullshit daytime skates that the starter doesn't want to be in.
Right.
And just get lit up.
Right.
Or even totally. Like work on a guy that's like rehabbing.
Right.
Like,
right.
Sometimes you go out
like
there.
Crosby coming back, taking a puck
awesome.
Off the skate and just ripping him wide by this like E-Bug who just goes down into
the that's what I used to do. I used to go to the Islanders Ice Works and watch the guys rehab. Kyle Okposa was rehabbing from that eye injury.
It's called a shooter tutor.
And he used to just rip on this goalie. Cool. Like the guy was at Iceworks just getting ripped on by Kyle Okposa. It was like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't care. That's what I wanted to do. When I found out it wasn't part of the gig, I was like, shit.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go to Smiley again.
Yeah.
That's what you get for Lou Lamoriello. He's not bringing in anyone.
True.
I wish we could do something with those guys. It'd be so
tight.
Fun.
Dude, they haven't even announced one of their actually, signings yet. It's nuts.
Kevin Hayes DM'd me the other day when I said the tomato juice is like the best drink or whatever. And he was like, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
And then we just started going back correct. And forth. I was like, you know, actually, we played against each other in high school. He was like, no fucking way.
Really?
We were like Kimball Union. I mean, they lit me up for six or something like that. But it was
did he score on you?
I think so.
Who's the highest profile guy to ever score on you?
Yandel.
Jack Eichel.
You? Jack Eichel?
Ooh. Yeah. Overtime,
at what level?
Overtime game winner, Junior B.
What?
Crazy.
That's good.
Yeah.
The highest profile person I ever scored on was two goals against Jonathan Quick in prep school.
That's legit.
That's legit.
Avon Old School Farms.
That's a success story,
too. Ours is a failure. Yours is like, I scored. Ours is,
what were the goals?
Me and threw
do
it
you remember
my,
them?
My shoulder.
Yeah, it was a Saturday night game. Avon Old Farms lost, I think, three hockey games in 2 years. They won, like, back-to-back New England prep school titles. They had, like, Augie DiMarzo. They had Backman. They had all these guys on their team. And it was a Saturday night game at Joe. We were down 2-0 going into the third. I had an assist on the first goal and then scored the second and third goals for us to win 3-2 on home ice. It was
no way.
Diabolical.
It's making me want to get in a men's league again.
Man. God.
So badly. So bad. First
is there
one.
Anything better than a competitive team sports?
What was the goal? How'd you score it?
First one, my boy Rents, who went to Harvard as well. We played hockey together. He was coming down the right wing with the puck, and there was like, you know, the two D-men. He had a sick play, cut right across the middle and dropped it. And I was coming from the left side, center ice, towards the boards, and the D got kind of caught up and both focused on him. So he dropped it. I grabbed it, pulled it around the D, and then came in on my forehand, just waited for quick, went all the way to the goal line and just roofed it, and like jumped into the crowd. And then second goal was with maybe a minute and 30 seconds left, and our D-man shot it from the point. I screened it. Rebound came like to the bottom of the circle, and I just whacked at a backhander that kind of fluttered over his glove, like off the crossbar and in, and we just went crazy.
Awesome. Amazing. I love those stories. Like, we went crazy. How close you were, like just playing with the best players in the world, like actually beating them at their sport.
Jack Eichel was 16, and I was like 19 or 20.
Ripping shots by you?
I mean, he was just better than everybody on the ice.
Right.
Dude, the best part about the quick story is 10 days later, Avon beat us 8-0 at home.
It's tricky.
Yeah, they get the better laugh at the end of the day. Yeah. Like, you play those guys in seven, it's over.
Totally. But we got them that funny. Night. Not tonight.
I had a baseball coach, JV. Chris Kozlowski is his name. I think he's a police officer now. Koz. I have such a great history with this guy. Hilarious stuff. And I remember he used to tell a story. He was in the Yankee – or he was in one of the minor league for one of the teams, maybe the Blue Jays. And I remember he talks about he faced Derek Jeter in spring training and like how that was like, all right, like this is my moment. Like I'm in spring training. I'm a minor league baseball pitcher. Like now is the time to fucking nut up and shut these people up. Like I'm a pitcher. And I remember he was saying like I'd have to get the full great story from him, but there's something about the catcher. He had Jeter like 0-2, like and the catcher was like asking for a changeup, and like he wanted to throw a fastball, and he waved him off a couple times, and he ended up stepping off, and then the catcher's like throw the changeup, and he throws the changeup, and Jeter hits like one off the wall, and then the next at bat, like the guy hits a double and the run scores, and all of a sudden it's like you're looking back at your career and you're like, it just didn't work out. But like, could you have struck Derek Jeter out? Like, what happens there if you blow a 92 mile an hour fastball by him? Like, is everyone like, oh fuck?
So there's this hockey tournament, Floodmar. It's big prep hockey, and I just came off like a
– And I apologize if I got that wrong, Kaz, if you're listening to this. But you'll have to tell me the story, and maybe I'll react.
I come off like a big junior year. Like, close it out, I stopped 52 of 53 at St. Paul's. Close up, I was like, dude, I'm good, I think, maybe. Next year starts up. We go to NMH, same thing. 51 of 52, we're going into Floodmar, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to be like – somebody might talk to me here. And then – we play Nobles and like actually Hayes, and that team just ended my career. First period, 0-0, and I remember there was 21 pucks against me. Like they had Mark Fain, they had the Hayes brothers, they had a bunch of good kids up at Nobles. And periods 2 and 3, they had 6 goals. So then like when you ask like did he score, it's like probably.
Oh man.
Probably.
And then it was just, you know, yeah, faded into podcasting and tech sales.
God damn.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
It is. It's fun to play against those guys growing up though.
Yeah.
I mean, I told the story about Yandel ripping one over my shoulder.
Yeah.
Can't handle Yandel scraping ice after like just some that humbling times.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Now he's back in Philly with Hayes. That's gonna be a dangerous duo out there for the city of Philadelphia. My goodness.
We had them on the Rangers for a half second.
Yeah. It's just amazing that the Rangers couldn't see how good that locker room was, and they blew it up.
God. Yeah, we just overpaid the players at that
point. Ryan McDonough, like, man.
Steps was
Ryan
overpaid.
McDonough makes $6.5 million. It's insane that he's not the captain of the Rangers. It's insane he's not the captain of the Rangers.
Hurts.
That guy has won 2 Stanley Cups. He's the best player on the ice almost at all times.
Drag me through the road and just –
now you guys got Ryan person on the now ice you guys got Ryan NHL. Reeves to try and fight Tom Wilson. They traded a third rounder for game one opening night. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It should be exciting, though.
Right. It'll be a good year. Who knows? I'm excited when hockey comes back. It's a great sport.
Love it.
Good, absolutely good luck in your roller hockey game, Frankie.
Thank you.
And congrats on the instant success with roller hockey.
Honestly. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
I would
that.
Say you having 15 points in 15 games is
stunning.
Yes.
It is.
It's
now, we've never won a playoff game, so that's the next hurdle. We lost.
What's the team's record?
So last season, I think we played like 8 games in a season or 9 games in a season. I think we went like...
How? You said you have 15 points in 15 games.
Well, I missed a lot. We travel a lot. I've missed a ton of games. I've only played 2 seasons, so this is my 3rd season. So I've probably missed half the games.
So every season is 8 games.
Like 8 games or something like that. So,
So you're 15 to 24 kind of
Yeah, point. Something got like it. That. But yeah, we're usually like 4 and 5 or something like that. Okay. Or maybe 3 and 6. We get rolled most of the time. Yeah, but
still, you're scoring and your team's like kind of winning. Like it's not like you guys are like
Dude, he's an 8-1. Getting good players in men's league hockey makes a massive difference. Like, I noticed when I first started, like, we have good players, but now we've added these two kids that can just fucking rip. Like, they connected on a one timer that went like bar down from the mm-hmm. dot, and everyone was like, wait a minute, like, that was a real hockey play. So, like, having those guys makes us better.
We don't want your kind here with that.
Like, that stuff makes me better because now I don't have to do as much shit. Right. Like, I'm not taking the puck over the fucking.
Like, you saw the guy with speed on the outside.
Speed on the outside. No. The net. Yeah, it's so much more fun.
So our team was horrible up in Boston, men's league. I played out because I played goalie growing up, but there was a goalie that kind of refused to play out, so I played in goalie skates. I was terrible, but the league was pretty good. First year, we would get absolutely waxed. And then we brought on Riggs, who's a good player, obviously, and then another buddy from Harvard, this kid Biega, who's like arguably a world-class hockey player. Like, I mean, the way he sees the ice, moves around, he's just really good. So we went from never scoring to now.
An NHL player?
His brothers are both.
Alex Biega?
Yeah. And so Mike was a stud, really just like Bud Lights more.
Kevin
Biega?
Oh, whatever.
No, there's Danny. That's Kevin Biega. That you're thinking about. Al Biega, though, played with him out in Vancouver, and then his other brother, Danny. So Riggs obviously played with him at Harvard. Yeah.
Alex Biega was my roommate in college, and then his younger brother, Mikey, became my roommate in Southie when we lived there after school. Arguably the most talented hockey-wise of all of the brothers, and like the only one that never even considered playing pro. And he's just...
They say that about the Mannings, right? Wasn't like Archie... wasn't one of the Mannings supposed to be the best quarterback when he got hurt?
Yeah, what's his name?
Cooper. Cooper was supposed to be
a really good receiver.
He was supposed to be the best player. That's funny.
And look, like, Al Biega has been playing in the NHL for like 10 years. He's, you know, making good money. He's like he's a role guy. He's a locker room guy. Like, they're the best family ever. But we always would just laugh because, like, Mikey Biega, who played on our men's league team that Lurch is talking about, is so unbelievably sick at hockey.
It's crazy.
And he would just show up and light up these men's league games. And, yeah, Lurch said our team was sick.
to one point where, like, I'm playing a goalie skate, so I can barely see. I don't move fast. I can't turn sharp. And, like, these guys are good. I would usually play defense because, like, I've got pretty good body control, so I would just kind of, like, push people around, and I was definitely, like, the most hated player in the league.
You were that guy that I had to deal with the other night.
Yes.
Just pushing me because I was faster than him.
So then
he's playing long stick, like, lacrosse on an ice hockey.
Pretty much. I would just, like, one time it was a one-on-one. I just took the puck square into the corner, just held it for my team to get a chance.
Period.
And so, anyways, they were like, Lurch, and Biega started calling me Lurch because I played in goalie skates, right? I couldn't move around. I was all rigid. And so that's how I picked up the name. Anyways, so then he, like, on power plays, if we were way up, he'd just be like, stand in front of the net. And that's when I said, did they just bank it off you? Because I literally just stood there and he was like, just put your stick down and I'm just going to see if I can get you a goal. And I just did it and it almost worked, but it never actually did.
So good that a hockey player gave you that nickname because they're just the funniest people.
Oh, they're great people. Nicknames. Hockey locker rooms. I support every kid playing hockey.
How funny was Letarri that day on the golf course? I don't even know half the things he was saying, and it didn't even make sense.
Dude, the funniest, Riggs on here has CT Pan wins, and he was calling you CT Pan all day that day.
Oh, yeah, TC Chen, because I double hit. He just goes, TC Chen, immediately, I double hit an iron. Calling every time Brock Nelson would hit one a little bit too left, he'd go, there goes the drone. And, like, we don't even know what that means. He goes, the drone's back, and you see this ball just flying over the trees, and we would die every single time.
Tony Hawk got me.
Tony Hawk is the best. Every time there was a huge slope on the back of the green, he'd go, you need to go Tony Hawk Pro Skater off the back of this thing.
Use this ramp.
So good.
Dude, they're beauty. I mean, hockey locker room is honestly the best place.
You see what they do in Minnesota, the beauty league?
Yeah.
They have, like, Keandre Miller, like, going end-to-end on, like, men's league guys or, like low-level college guys. Right. It's, like, the funnest league of all time to watch.
Going back to golf, that's, like, why it was so frustrating the last Ryder. Like, when they, like, look at our, like, the golfers, like, the American guys that were just, like, dejected and not, like, the spirited hockey guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It was, like, we need a couple Vinny Letarris in the locker room playing U.S. golf.
Dude, we talked to Trevor Zegras on the show last week, and, I mean, he won the World Juniors for United States in Canada. Like, imagine that locker room. Like, that's the kind of pride and that's the kind of effort we need to see from our teams. We can't have what happened in France at the Ryder Cup anymore. No. You can't have that happen anymore. That can't happen.
We're going to get killed.
Get some energy going.
I know. We're going to get killed if that happens. It's like we're jealous of what they do on the European side and how cool their whole teams are because they're all gelling their boys. They're like a hockey locker room.
We're like a comedy show, honestly. The two of those guys were like a comedy show.
They're like sleeping together. I think they slept in the same bed the whole fucking week.
Right. Nuts.
Bullshit.
All right, we went an extra like 30 minutes there.
I think that's good. Yeah, you missed dinner, and now you got to maybe catch them on the putting course.
Life could
small
be worse.
Price to pay. I'm just fucking, yeah, we're doing all
right,
bro.
Right, I guess. Fine. So, Cyprus,
you
idiots
about anything. Whatever you want. Yeah. All right,
hit it hard.
I relive my glory days in high school, scoring on Jonathan.
Yeah, Cook, I think people will find that pretty interesting. Yeah. You guys have like played against cool guys and cool names and stuff. I don't think anyone's ever heard that stuff, so
yeah.
I haven't.
All right, I'm going to go eat dinner.
All right,
hit it hard, boys.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.